talked about.
What the hell is this?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Loveline Loverboy, Mike Catherwood.
All I can think about is sausage.
I really think that the show is a gift to society.
I have to ask because, you know, the ladies want to know, are you a single fella?
Yeah, I am.
Gay!
Is that what this is? It's not a party, it's a filthy penis meeting?
I'm sorry.
I think it's okay for men to have feelings because they don't want to express a lot, but then sometimes they do express. I think it's okay.
And now,
Marty, we have to go back in time before Kevin was born because he's a douchebag.
Our feature presentation.
How dare you?
When I was putting that together, the open for today's Kevin and Bean show on Tuesday, the 29th of March, at Cabal File, and calling Kevin a douchebag, I guess it didn't occur to me that it was his birthday today. And maybe that's not that's not the ideal way to say, hey, happy birthday.
I think it is.
Happy birthday, Kevin.
Thank you.
You big douchebag.
apparently a big douchebag. Hey, it's the doctor from Back to the Future saying it, not me. I didn't say it.
Yeah, that's a good point. You didn't say it.
Anyway, so yeah, it's the 29th. I am sad, by the way, that we, and I have been for years, that we don't have a sports guy on the show. Mm. Because there's so much great stuff that's going on in sports that we rarely have time to talk about. And one of the things that I have really been interested in, and I don't know if you've been following it or not, Kevin, is the Barry Bonds perjury trial that's going on in San Francisco right now.
No, I'm not.
Now, as we've learned through history, you know, from President Clinton on down, it's not what you do that gets you in trouble a lot of the times. It's lying about it.
Yeah. Is this about steroids and the whole deal?
Yes. Right. This is about steroids and the whole deal. And the trial is going on right now, and I don't see any way how he's not going to be convicted and sent to jail. I don't see how he's going to escape this one. I really don't. But it was a phenomenal day of testimony yesterday because a young woman named Kim Bell, who was Barry Bonds' girlfriend for 9 years, from, I think, 1994 to 2003. By the way, while he was married to two different women.
Oh,
wow, he
my.
Is a baller.
that's a heavy duty. That's a girlfriend who could stick through two separate marriages.
That's
right?
A dumb man.
Yeah. Well, she testified yesterday, and kids, if you're out there and you were thinking, "Hey, I want to be like Barry Bonds and maybe get on these steroids," I think these are the way to go. Here are some of the things that she talked about during the 4 hours that she was on the stand yesterday. She talked about Barry Bonds' shrunken testicles, his back acne, his hair loss, his bloating, his impotence.
Yes.
This is, by the way, like Barry Bonds hasn't had enough bad things said about him. This is what you want in open court for all the world to hear is
wow.
This is painting him like this for 9 years, right? He was increasingly aggressive, irritable, agitated, impatient. He once threatened to behead me.
What?
She talked about. It just goes on and on and on. It's unbelievable.
So he's a pretty good dude?
Apparently not a good dude. Mm. She said that he threatened to cut off her head and leave her in a ditch, burn down a house that he helped her buy in Arizona, and cut out her breast implants because he paid for them.
Wait. He did this during a 9-year relationship, or this is what he did at the end when the woman left?
Well, it doesn't. At least in this article, they don't put a timeline on it. But
if she's sticking with him through that, that's nuts.
Yeah, no, you're right. I hope that was at the very, very end.
Wow.
So Barry Bonds' defense is trying to paint her out as just being, a gold digger and being with Barry Bonds and planning on writing a book and, you know, just all sorts of things that she intended to cash in and whatnot.
Oh, I hope she writes a book. I mean, a best.
That would be pretty funny.
In the Shadow of a Giant was one title that they were considering for her book, apparently, and Giant Mistake, which I think would have been an awesome title for the book, too. But look.
How do the Giants feel about him, the fans?
You know, it's interesting because obviously, he's one of the, you know, 5 or 6 most beloved players in San Francisco Giants history. But there are people who love baseball and love the integrity of baseball and really hold it against him, you know, who just don't want to have anything to do with him anymore. I don't know. Here's the thing. He's such a dick that I can't see people overlooking this to put him in the Hall of Fame while he's alive. I really can't because people just don't like him.
Yeah.
It's not like he's a super nice guy wow, he made a big mistake, but right. we like him so much, and he's been so great for the game in other ways. I mean, you remember, we used to watch him all the time when he was playing. Remember how he would never smile? He seemed like he was always mean to the fans. He never looked like he wanted to be there. His teammates all hated him. I mean, none of that goes very far toward yeah. making your improving your image if you're already, you know, basically spitting in the face of the game. So I can't wait to see what happens to a guy like Barry Bonds. I mean, my question now is, how are the other prisoners going to respond to him? What kind of reaction is he going to get when he goes in? I mean, because we hear guys like OJ go in and they like him. You know, he's fine. He becomes popular.
When, remember when Chong went in jail? He was
Tommy
like
Chong was the hero. Yeah,
he exactly. said I loved it. Everybody, you know, wanted to get an autograph from me, and it was a really fun time. I wanted to stay.
he's never been better received by any audience than Tommy Chong was in jail for selling bogs, right? But Barry Bonds, you know, as great as he was, is just a dick. And one final note on this before we move on. And this is what we've been telling you for years on the Kevin Bean Show. And you should learn it again from this story I've just recounted here. That's why you don't date a white woman, right? You just don't date a white woman. This is what happens.
Okay. All right. I don't know that I'm down with that because, but okay. All right.
I'm just saying. That's what happened. That's the mistake he made. Sister would have stuck up for him.
Sister would have had his, by the way.
Oh, that's a good point,
she
too.
She would have killed him.
All right, I'm going to revise that. Yeah. Date a white woman. That's what I'm saying.
There you go. She won't keep her mouth shut, but she won't kill you.
Right.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
What's that vulgar shit just spewing everywhere?
Mom giving her 8-year-old daughter Botox. Eight.
Well, you know.
Eight.
Kids are aging faster than ever before.
Not that fast.
If you're 8 now, you can look 10 if you've been out in the sun a lot.
I think this is one of those moms that beauty pushes her into the beauty pageant.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe so.
Yeah. But 8 years old Botox. What, you know, wow. She's going to look horrible by the time she gets to the old age of like 18, 19.
Yeah.
And that, you know what I mean? Like, that's when you should be at your best. She's going to look terrible with all that Botox.
That's so awful.
So that's a good idea. That's good. We have a new royal wedding correspondent. We found out that our producer, Alex, we were talking yesterday about the ridiculous over-coverage of the royal wedding on all of the morning shows on TV. And she said her mom is not only into it, but is having a party and is going to stay up all night. You know, the coverage on the West Coast starts at 1 a.m. On the East Coast at 4 a.m.
I find that inconvenient.
You think?
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, you can't really blame Britain for the difference in time.
No, but you can blame anyone in this country for not TiVoing it, even if you're interested.
Please tell me we're going to talk to Alex's mom.
I believe so.
Because I need to understand, because we're going to be hearing about a lot of this for the next month or so. Isn't it a month from today, the wedding?
End of April? Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
I need to understand why we care about these two people who live in another country.
I don't get it either.
I mean America. Why America? I mean, clearly the networks believe that there's a huge audience for this because they're all in on it. Why do they think people? Why do people care about William and Kate?
I really don't know.
I bet they haven't. It's not like, and I bet Alex's mom will tell us this. It's not like she's followed and been a fan of Prince William his whole life, and. I bet she now suddenly cares because he's getting married.
I imagine that's the case. Listen, I don't know. It's not. They're hitting the wrong audience with me. I could care less.
I don't get it.
But so we're going to talk to her, and that's going to be fantastic. We're only 30 days out, Bean. You're right. We got to ramp it up, you know?
I know. We haven't been doing nearly enough.
We're going to talk to Psycho Mike about what he's going to do post Dancing with the Stars today.
Or whenever that is.
Or whenever
that is.
That's what I meant. We have Online Brides is the conversation today. There is a TV show, I believe it's by Lisa Ling. It's called Our America. And she did a special on Online Brides, and it is a bizarre world.
This is what we used to call mail order brides,
yes.
Right? Yeah.
Yes. It looks to me like she went out of her way to find the most reputable one in existence, which is still super shaky.
Really?
Yeah. But
'cause that's where I'm going for my next one.
Yeah, well, this is a company that gives you, quote, marriage tours. So 10 guys from America will fly down to Colombia.
Okay.
And they'll meet 100 women.
Oh, my God.
Sounds like good odds.
Right. But you would think, you know, that most of them, and about half of them, didn't want their faces to be shown.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because they don't want to be known as losers or how many other women they've, you know, met in Colombia, but what's happening? But yeah, it looks like it's a bizarre thing, and they
this is like an auction almost.
It is sort of, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of creepy.
I saw another story a couple weeks ago about a bazaar, a weekend bazaar where they have, where you go just like you'd, you know, to go to a swap meet or something like that. But one of the companies that's there every week has brides. They have women that stand there, you know, 8 hours on Sunday, and dude, you come by and you pick one out.
There's a word for that. It's hooker.
Well, but you don't marry a hooker, though, Kevin. You don't marry a hooker and then take the hooker, you know, back to your home country to live with.
No, they don't marry them either. By the way.
Oh, they don't?
Not for the most part, no. Well, I mean, it doesn't, for the most part, it doesn't work out at all.
Right.
And then you've got all the guys who are just looking to score.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then you got guys who get engaged but never end up marrying. There's very few actually marry.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I'm looking forward to hearing about this.
Yeah, it's bizarre, I got to tell you. And also, we have tickets for April Foolishness. It is this Saturday, believe it or not.
Yes.
And we have tickets in the fancy schmancy section, which is right up front. And we will play a game, and we will give you a chance to win those tickets coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I like that Blink 182 a lot. They are not in a race to get that new record out to us, are they?
No, they are not. They are on the No Doubt pace.
It does seem like it takes as long as it takes, even if that goes into decades. But good luck with that, guys. Hey, Ralph Grammer, what's going on, man?
Hey!
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. A rough night sleeping.
Excellent.
Which is never good. I had a nightmare. I think that's probably why I was tossing and turning. I had a nightmare that a guy we work with, Mike Catherwood, was on national television and he made a girl kiss his bicep. And I woke up in a cold sweat. Yeah, I was like, oh, God, thank God he didn't do that for real.
No, that would have
been, quite embarrassing.
That happened.
For him.
He did that.
And us.
Yep.
That he would make a girl kiss his bicep.
That happened. Yeah.
I don't know until last night on television that I've ever even seen Mike show off his guns.
Well, you're not around.
He picked
does he usually do that?
Sure.
Poor Mike. Well, you get a chance to tell him in person in a couple of days, Val.
That's true. We'll be hanging out again in about 24 hours. All right, let's talk about show business, shall we? NeNe Leakes and Star Jones are not getting along on the Celebrity Apprentice. Hard to believe, I'm
sure. It's on.
It is on like Donkey Kong. Apparently, they've been at each other's throats not only while filming the show, but now it turns out that NeNe has been seeing Star's ex-husband, Al Reynolds.
Why?
Well, she must hang out at gay bars.
Yeah. I don't have any first-hand knowledge, but that guy's gay, right?
I don't think you need to have first-hand knowledge. That's sort of been the accepted wisdom regarding the demise of their marriage.
So how does he keep getting women? Even though it's NeNe.
Maybe he's bisexual and he likes maybe he likes the ladies occasionally.
I am not a homosexual.
Or maybe NeNe's just going so far out of her way to find whatever she can possibly do to get under Star's nerves. And I think she's done it.
I think you get on
I am not a homosexual. Yeah,
get under her skin and on
but
her
the
nerves.
Thing is, it's really weird to me. Yes, and it really is kind of upsetting to me
that's
where people would go as it relates to my sexuality.
It is.
Because this has affected my professional life.
Right. Okay. And what in the butt, he added. Sofia Vergara, one of the loveliest people on television, has a very unique and interesting way of keeping that amazing figure that she has. She works out. Madness.
Yeah, it's crazy. That's it? That's the story?
That's hardly makes for a magazine article.
I would like to extend to you an invitation to the pants party.
She says that she does it so that she can eat anything she wants, which is a good rule of thumb.
All right.
She says salsa dancing and cardio strength programs are what keeps her in shape because in the course of a day, sometimes she'll eat chocolate-covered strawberries, pinkberry frozen yogurt's a favorite treat of hers, brownies she loves, and especially she loves sticky buns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I would do everything to her. I would wreck that chick.
Oh, I'm glad she likes sticky buns. Come by my house. I'll give you some sticky buns, Sofia Vergara. I'm Buzz.
Why am I sticky and naked? Did I miss something fun?
Eric Johnson, former NFL player, seems okay with being a kept man, according to Star Magazine. They've gotten the details of his ironclad prenup that he has with fiancée Jessica Simpson. Word is, they're both going to sign it. Here's what Eric gets. Yeah, Eric. $500,000 is a wedding gift. Just for signing. It's a signing bonus.
Who's ever heard of paying cash for a wedding gift to your fiance?
I wish it happened to me. I could use the $500,000.
No kidding.
$200,000 for every year they're married, he gets. Just as a matter of course. This isn't if they split up. This is just sort of
This is
thanks
if they stay
for sticking
together?
Around. Yeah. Let's see. He gets another $500,000 bonus after 5 years of marriage, and then $1 million if they make it to 10 years.
Well, let's not be crazy.
Yeah, don't spend that million. She's already given him a Visa Black Card and an Amex Platinum Card to use at his discretion, and they share a joint checking account.
She's dumb.
Well, look. Women for years have been able to make a payout of certain marriages situations, and maybe Eric Johnson has found his way in. But it's a pretty good deal for him. Well, except for the fact he ends up being married to Jessica Simpson.
There's
but
that
other
part.
Than that, yeah. Sounds like he's going to have some cash to throw around.
That isn't good for you.
At least he'll be able to make it rain when she's on tour and he's at the strip club.
It'll be her money, but...
That much we know for sure.
You have to pay somebody a lot, though, if you take away their ability to enjoy any part of their life from the moment they sign that paper.
I would keep encouraging her to tour.
Is that just a celebrity thing? Or I mean, I don't know of anybody who pays the spouse to stick around.
I've heard of rich dudes, like captains of industry and that kind of stuff, when they hire their trophy wives or things like that, that the women get a certain stipend, you know, because they won't be working and they're going to be staying home and being a, you know, contributing to the marriage in ways that don't necessarily involve making money, that this is a little something for them to have spending money and things like that. It's built into the contract.
There's a word for that. It's called hooker.
How dare you, sir? You spit on love.
Yeah. I do.
And then you guys were talking about the royal wedding, and I think I'm surprised that you can't understand what the fascination is.
Please help me.
Especially in this country for this situation. It's because of the romance. It is literally the fairy tale of the prince and princess getting married. And that is a...
right,
that
but
is,
it's
that has been ingrained in us since childhood... especially women, of being a very sort of special romantic extravaganza. A royal wedding has a certain romance and sense of old world charm to it, I believe. And that's what a lot of people, especially women, respond to it.
Are you going to have a party, Ralph?
I'm not.
Okay.
But I can certainly understand why some woman would be fascinated by it, by the pomp and circumstance and the dress that she wears and the circumstance that surrounds it.
Wow.
I mean, my wife was one of those when she was a little girl that stayed up with her grandmother overnight to watch Prince Charles and Princess Diana get married.
Look how that turned out.
Well, poorly for Princess Diana. But the event itself was the stuff of little girls' dreams.
Hmm. Yeah.
In a world where Disney sells billions of dollars of princess merchandise to little girls all over the world, it does not strike me as odd at all that some women would be fascinated and intrigued by the fairy tale story of a prince meeting a commoner and marrying her and happily ever after and all that kind of stuff.
But does that explain the thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of other tangents of here's, you know, today we look at Kate and William's favorite places on the island. You know, all those spin-off stories that don't really have anything to do with the fairy tale.
Well, you're right. You're right. Network news usually is shows a modicum of decorum and in the how they show restraint about their handling a news story. You're absolutely right. No, it's like anything else.
Hmm.
And we care.
It's certainly easy to understand, I think.
But again, most of these broads who are going to get up and watch this wedding at 3 o'clock in the morning, they didn't care about Prince William 2 months ago. Anything about him.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And all of a sudden.
A lot of people don't care about soccer until the World Cup rolls around. And then all of a sudden, douchebags are blowing vuvuzelas, drinking beer at 10 o'clock in the morning, watching Uruguay play Paraguay.
I just wonder if that fantasy is true anymore, because it's not like a fairy tale where you're, you know, living in a castle and sitting around being fed grapes all day. I mean, you know, it's the modern world now. The prince is not the prince's
job is
not
they live in a castle and they can get whatever they want.
No,
they have money.
They
and they
don't
get
live
to
in
do
a,
whatever they want. They do live in castles.
The prince's job is not like
Buckingham
what it was.
They're
not going to live in Buckingham Palace. The queen does. The prince isn't. But
right,
what I'm saying,
one of the other dozen castles they have around the UK, that's where they live.
What I'm saying is he'll have a job, and it'll be like real life, and it's not going to be what
he's
she thinks it's
going to
be.
He's not working at Jiffy Lube. He's not going there changing oil.
There's nothing about him that's like
he's
real life.
He's a prince.
I don't like it, and I don't get it.
I think in this day and age, more than ever, people respond to those fairy tales and fantasies because the rest of real life is such crap.
I got news for you. This is crap as well. It's just dressed up crap.
Well, then people get their day. They get their one day where they pretend that the world isn't crap. They just had their little fantasy moment.
You know why William is so popular? Because he's a prince, and he's a prince because he's a douchebag son, Prince Charles. That's it. That's his claim to fame.
He's also a prince because he is... His mother was one of the most beloved public figures in recent history.
Right, but that's not what gives him the crown.
That's what gave her the crown.
Stupid.
Kevin, I hope we'll be interviewing the Queen as we approach the wedding date. I hope we'll have the Queen on to talk about it.
Stupid.
Look, I don't think it's stupid. It's certainly innocuous, but I don't begrudge people's fascination or interest in it.
I don't see
why you're so angry about it.
You know, I hate the royal family. I hate the whole idea.
I can't understand. That has nothing to do with you. Their lives affect you in not one iota. I don't understand your passionate hate for them.
Kevin doesn't need a reason to hate. You know that.
I'm just saying.
The whole idea that because they have the blood of the royals is just stupid beyond words.
I know.
It's not stupid to you?
This is just...
Is it stupid to you?
It's not stupid.
Prince Charles is the best man for the job? No, you know why? He's got royal blood. He could be the worst man for the job. Still
but that's not that much. That's not that much difference than George Bush being president
because
his father was president. It's really not. I mean, that's really a family business.
You just get in the family
business.
They
at least have to go through the motions of a vote. They don't even do that in England.
But you know, Kevin,
the
monarchy system has been in place on this planet a lot longer than presidential elections have been. This is the way things had been done for millennia.
And then somebody said, wow, this is stupid. Let's come up with a better way.
But it has a long-standing tradition. I mean, you could understand why it gets carried on in certain countries.
But then you look at Prince Charles, you go, what about him as royal? He's an ass.
Why don't understand why you think he's an ass? Why
he's
is he such a bad guy?
Because
what did
he treated
do?
Princess Diana like he treated her? That's why. He's an ass.
He didn't rough her up.
No, he's not Chris Brown.
You don't know, man.
He was on Good Morning America, and he broke a window and threw a chair.
No.
Started yelling.
You're thinking of the wrong guy. Mm. Yeah. Anyway, the reason I bring it up is because there's a story today about Prince William's bachelor party, where apparently it's over. A lot of people were trying to get inside information and trying to get photos from the party, whatever. They released a press release today from the palace saying that it's already happened. And all of his buddies, 20 buddies, gathered together at a country estate and...
Banged hookers?
No. See, that's the thing. No one is spilling any lure details. They can't get any details from any of these dudes about what happened.
And was the, so killed hookers, that's probably...
the greatest bachelor party ever.
Or...
If you're a prince and you can do anything, it's your country! Your country! You can do... you're a cop? Yeah, I run the country. You are my subject. So why don't you just tell your story walking, Bobby? All right, I would have liked to have been there. I think it would have been fun.
I think it wouldn't have been.
Stupid people, I hate them, and they have blood.
Whole idea of blue blood, dumb.
Wow.
Lisa, April's going to be a long month on the show.
No kidding.
Come on.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Christopher Lambert. He was the Highlander. He's 54 years old today. Perry Farrell of Porno for Pyros and Jane's Addiction is 52. Elle McPherson, lovely supermodel, is 48 years old. She looks great for 48. Singer, harmonica player John Popper of the band Blues Traveler is 44 years old today. I don't know if you've seen him recently, but he had the stomach staple surgery.
Oh, is he thin?
Oh, lost a ton of weight.
Oh, good.
Actress Lucy Lawless is 43 years old today. And speaking of birthdays... Our own little buddy Kevin celebrates his birthday today! Yeah. Woo! Woo! Yay! Woo! To make him happy his birthday, we're going to kill somebody from the royal family.
All right!
We're going to behead him right here in the studio. I don't know if we can get her on, but I think we got a duke out in the trunk. we'll drag him in, take the bag off his head, and you can snuff him. I'm Ralph Garman. I welcome the show.
Talking to our friend Psycho Mike later on today's show. He danced again on national television on ABC's Dancing with the Stars. We'll find out how it went from his perspective coming up. Plus, we got tickets up close, the fancy schmancy section of this weekend's Kevin and Bean April Foolishness. Completely sold out, thanks to you, and we're going to be giving away tickets every day this week on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Let's talk about stage mom, shall we?
All right.
There is a story, beautician Carrie Campbell is her name. Her daughter's name is Brittany. It says in the article that her daughter is a pageant enthusiast.
Which is why she has the name Brittany, by the way. I think mom had that planned for her from the minute she was born.
You think? A beauty pageant enthusiast. And this mother gives her daughter, who is 8, injections of Botox every 3 months.
Yay!
Well, I don't know.
When they see a wrinkle.
I don't know Brittany, but in her mom's defense, maybe if she doesn't get the Botox, she looks nine. You ever think about
that?
It
could be, yeah. I don't know. It just seems like it just seems crazy. What I'm doing for Brittany now will help her become a star. I know one day she will be a model, actress, or singer. She's 8, by the way.
Oh, my God.
And having these treatments now will ensure that she stays looking younger and baby-faced for longer.
I guess the logic behind the people who believe they or their family members are going to make it in the entertainment business is what drives things like state lotteries, because you know how much the odds are stacked against you, yet you still believe that you're going to be the one who's going to break through.
Yeah, but that's different because you're spending your money on a gamble. This is a kid that you're trying to live through.
Yeah.
What a terrible mom this is. Giving her daughter Botox at 8.
I'm surprised someone's not trying to take her away.
No kidding.
Well, we asked producer Alex to find out more about the story, and I believe we have Carrie Campbell on the line. She is the beautician who is injecting her daughter, Brittany, every 3 months. Hi, Carrie. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
We're good.
Great to talk to you. Are you here to talk about Brittany?
Yes.
Oh, she's amazing.
Why do I hear, it sounds like hospital beeping in the background.
Right. Well, we're actually getting her boobs put in today.
What?
Yeah, she's... we're getting her a boob job. She's going to be beautiful.
Wait, you can't, that's against the medical practice, because what if she then grows boobs later on down the road? Then what?
Then even better, they'll be twice as big.
No.
She's going to be a star. She's going to be a star because, hey, look at her. She's a star. Look at her being all starry.
Did you try and be a star, Carrie? Was that your goal and you failed?
I didn't have a mother like me.
Right.
My mother, don't get me started.
Right.
She put me in school.
Oh.
To learn things like stupid math.
That's ridiculous.
And reading. And she never cared about the fact that I wanted to be a star. So I'm doing better by Brittany than my mother did by me. By pulling her out of school and just making her a star.
So what do you spend all your time doing? Just preparing her for beauty pageants?
Oh, forget about pageants. We're moving away from pageants. She's going to be a big star. She's going to sing and dance and act.
Okay.
So we're already working on her album. Did you see that girl on YouTube, that 12-year-old whore?
Yeah.
with all that success and all that attention?
Yeah, the Friday song or the jeans song?
One, yeah, okay. The jeans and the Friday and all that crap.
Yeah.
Oh, Britney's going to crush them. Imagine a 9-year-old with boobs.
Carrie, forgive me. Oh, man. Forgive me for asking.
We're looking at butt implants, too.
What?
Because we're putting together a video for her new album that I wrote and produced myself. Called Pre-Puberty But Flirty. And we've got the new hit single that we're already recording. Not Old Enough to Bleed, But I Know What You Need.
Oh, come on.
This is terrible, Carrie. Please stop.
The guys are going to go crazy for her. She's going to be beautiful. She's going to be a star.
You're a terrible mother.
I'm terrible. I'm making my daughter a star.
Yeah, what is your daughter? Does she want that?
I don't know. She can't really talk anymore because her face won't move from all the Botox.
Oh, God.
But she nods a lot, so I think everything's fine.
I have to ask you about this, Carrie. You mentioned the Botox, the breast implants, the butt implants.
Yeah.
The article that we're reading says that you give her a regular full body wax to get rid of her fluffy leg hair and to make sure, Lisa, listen to this, to make sure she doesn't develop pubic hair in the future.
Oh my God.
That's right. We're going to keep her smooth.
Why?
Smooth like a star.
Why will she be a star? Because she's bald.
Well, we don't wax her head. We're leaving the head hair on
okay.
for now. Unless I can find some hair that's more starry, and then we'll swap it out. But no, just to get rid of any of that unsightly hair that, you know, people have.
Okay,
so people look at her and say, look at her. Look, she gleams. She's like a star. And when she's singing and dancing, I'm going to put her some short shorts, and you won't see any unsightly pubic hair or anything. So this way, everybody will look at her and say, oh, we want her. We want to be with her. We want to spend time with her and just be around her because she's a star.
Carrie, these are the kind of decisions that get made typically when a girl is 19, 20, 21, 22.
Right, too late.
She's 8.
Too late. If you wait that long, it's all over, sweetie. Let's face it. It's all about being young and beautiful.
But age.
And if I start her now, she will stay this age forever.
Oh, no.
I'm thinking of having her sealed in some side of some sort of polyplastic or whatever.
Oh,
just,
Carrie.
Just have her sprayed over and just have her hermetically sealed. And maybe then stuffed and mounted.
What? It sounds like maybe you just need a doll rather than a daughter, it sounds like.
Dolls can't give you love.
Okay, Carrie. Yeah. Good luck with that.
My daughter loves me.
How do you know?
Because she better. I'll pull the plug on this respirator.
Bush. You're listening to Kevin and Beans. You got some Oasis on the way. Also, Rise Against, Foo Fighters, and Muse coming up. Right now, though, our voicemail is on the air 24 hours a day. Whenever you think of something witty or something we need to know, you call the Kevin and Beans Show on our AFRO line. It's 323-520-AFRO. You do that, and it goes down like this.
And today's non-celebrity birthdays, me. Happy birthday.
That's sweet. Not much kind delivery.
Kind of sad, really, that he's calling up to wish himself a happy birthday. It gives me the feeling that there's nobody in his life wishing him a happy birthday. He just wants to be noticed.
Hey, how about you guys play a little Linkin Park? Haven't heard them in a while. Ass.
We will work on that. We'll get that right up for you.
I'm going to put that down as one for Linkin Park, and we'll see what we can do.
Talking yesterday about our favorite Girl Scout cookies.
Dude, my favorite Girl Scout cookie is... Who gives a shit?
How dare you? I've never tried that one. You guys ever tried that one?
Nope.
Huh. This is a response to a topic that we had. It was a call-in topic based on a story that Lisa May told us, where she ended up eating non-food substance that... dog poop.
By accident.
That happened.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Just listening to your segment on gross things that people swallowed. And I seem to have swallowed something, too, while I was listening to that. My vomit. Thanks, assholes.
I'm that guy.
Yeah, that was the worst discussion we've ever had in the history of this show. Thanks, Lisa.
But at least this woman loved it.
Stop it, Kevin and Bean. It's not good radio. It's disgusting. That's what it is. It's disgusting. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it.
I couldn't agree more. And Lisa, that's not what potty mouth means. You understand that, right?
Hey, man, it may be disgusting, but it's life.
Wow.
Hey, don't worry, Psycho Mike. I've voted for you like 10 times, okay? 866-IDLE-10. Like, seriously, 10 times. I've voted 866-IDLE-10.
That's cool. No,
all my friends are calling the same number. Great. It's going to be great.
That's nice. That's very kind of you, sir.
No. Mike is not on American Idol. What? Mike is in the running to become the next America's Next Top Model. You got that wrong.
Oh, shoot.
Hey, if Psycho Mike wants to beat the Macho, he's going to have to do one thing, and that's three words. Sweep the leg. Sweep the leg. Put him in a body bag.
See, that's from the original
Karate Kid, because Ralph
kid,
Macchio.
Sweep the leg is what Sunday. That's from. Sunday. I don't know what this is about specifically.
You, Adam Carolla. You. You know what? It is? Soon. You know that? You.
Could be anything.
Could be anything.
I have often felt that in many conversations that I've had with Adam.
Back to Lisa.
A romantic dinner with Lisa. With doo-doo on it.
It's back,
unfortunately. And that's not even the original.
Hey, Lisa, what's with the potty mouth?
See?
Oh, look at that.
Oh, there it
See?
Is again.
And then we played this song. Badger.
I hate you.
Yeah, it's tough to not get that song stuck in your head.
Finally, though, after weeks of hearing Friday, fun, finally I now have something else stuck in my head. So it's the Badger song is actually a relief to me at this point.
Hey, have you guys heard the taco song? It goes like this. Tacos, sweet salsa. Tacos.
I like it.
Kevin, douchebag.
Sounds like a request to me. Mushroom. something like this begin?
I don't know.
Is it a drug trip? Do you think it's just somebody just like on acid or something? Go, let's make some music.
It's gotta be,
and
right?
Then they go back later and go, wow, that was bad but funny. Okay, and why, and all right, and why?
All those things.
Most importantly, why?
We're talking about the royal wedding last hour, Kevin.
Yeah.
Very excited. 30 days out, 1 month from today, April 29th, 2011, Prince William and that whore, Kate Middleton, walk down the aisle. We have our first royal wedding correspondent, our first official correspondent. Now, how did the producer Alex, how did it come up that we found out that your mom is down with the royals?
Can we turn down the band?
My mom is a diehard romantic and has always loved the royals and whatever's going on in Britain and what are they wearing, what are they doing, how are they partying, what's going on.
So we were talking about this yesterday. We were having the, you know, I hate it. Bean's all right with it, I think, but he doesn't understand it. And
I don't at all.
And Alex perks up and says, by the way, my mom's going to be watching it live. And we said, wait a minute, you mean 4 a.m. East Coast, 1 a.m. West Coast live? She said, yep.
Oh, yeah. Party.
So we have to talk to her mom.
Now, I'm glad we were able to fit my mom in. My mom's on the line. Liz. Yes. Good morning, Liz. Good morning, Mom.
Good morning, guys.
My mom, this week, Bean, you're going to be very jealous. She has jury duty.
Oh.
And she fit us into her schedule. And it's her dream to be a jury foreman.
Wow. I love you so much. Know. When I marry your mom, I will be your stepfather, Alex. That's going to be so weird.
Oh, that's going to be great.
Liz, are you married? Do you already have a man?
No, I'm not. I'm single. But I hate animals, Bean. So.
Well, I don't know that it's going to work out.
I don't think it's going to work out.
I don't really think so either.
I have to do a quick shout out to San Francisco and Live 105 because my best friend who's going to be watching the royal wedding with me is listening in San Francisco.
Fine.
You have one listener in San Francisco.
Okay. Yeah. And by the way, that's all. Now,
that may be.
Now, you're saying she's going to come over and watch it with you. Are you having a party?
No, I'm actually going up to San Francisco and going to watch it with her. We're going to be watching it at 3 a.m. Pacific time.
She's flying to San Francisco to do this party.
We're doing a whole week.
To watch television, essentially, you're flying. All right, you have to help us understand this, Mom, because honestly, look, who in America cares about Prince William? Why do you care about him, about who he's marrying, about how that goes? I mean, what possible impact can it have on your life?
Well, basically, I have a vagina.
I'm pretty sure we started with that, and see
what happens is, like most women, whether they're married, single, divorced, straight, gay, old, young, it is the quintessential fairy tale that even in the year 2011, women are still vicariously living for and living through. And I don't care if you're a feminist or a conservative, and any woman who says she's not into this is lying. It's something that you really want to watch. It's really a lot of curiosity and voyeurism at its finest.
All right.
And the thing is that I'm going to be one of 1 billion with a B people watching this extravaganza unfold on April 29th.
All right, Mom, listen. Didn't Diana show us that it's not a fairy tale? I mean, didn't everybody that watched the Diana wedding, didn't they come around and go, wow, that sure didn't end like I thought it was going to, happy ever after?
How dare you?
Well, that's a great point, though.
She was miserable, Diana was.
But we're not talking about the marriage, guys. We're talking about the wedding. The wedding was spectacular.
Oh, I see.
You have to separate the wedding from the marriage. I mean, most weddings are great, and then everyone gets divorced about 2 years later. But the wedding was fabulous.
I see.
Okay, now you're talking about how all women are into this, or most. Alex, what about you? Where do you come down on the scale of interest?
She's either
in the
into
wedding?
It or she's a liar.
According to my mom, I'm a liar. I'm not flying to San Francisco to have a party with champagne and scones.
How much do you care about seeing the wedding that day?
I think I'll make a point to look at it, see what she's wearing, what the party looked like. I think I like the...
Now, wait a minute. Make a point to watch it live or to catch it the next day, highlights?
No, I'll probably catch it the next
day. Okay, not crazy. Good.
Obviously. But I am fascinated by the fact that she is just a regular chick. She's not another royal. And I think, I've read a few interviews with her, and I think she's a cool chick. I mean, she broke up with him, I think, a few years ago, and all of her friends and family thought she was crazy because, you're breaking up with a prince. You might lose your chance to be a princess. And she said, no, F him. And then he came back to her.
Now, explain. This is producer Alex's mom, Liz, on the phone. We're talking about the royal wedding 1 month from today here on the Kevin Bean Show. Explain the necessity to watch it live, Mom. I mean, we all have DVRs at this point. Couldn't you get up and watch it at noon and enjoy it just as much?
No, you know what it is? I'm a news junkie, and the only thing I watch live is news and sporting events. Everything else I watch on the DVR. But this is a huge news historical event that's unfolding, so I've got to watch it while it happens.
It's at 1 a.m., I think, Pacific, or 3 a.m., whatever.
3. It's 3
the coverage starts at 1, the wedding is at 3.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
that's inconvenient at best. Before we get up.
Yes.
How much have you been watching all the tangential coverage on the networks leading up to? I mean, in the last 5 months, it seems like they every day have a story on the morning television programs where they go to the company that's making royal coffee cups and whatnot. I mean, it seems like there's a million angles to this thing. Are you following all of that, or do you not care about anything until the day?
Well, I'm starting. It's kind of like the Sweet 16. Like, I start to now tune into basketball playoffs.
Don't you dare say this is like the Sweet 16.
so right now, I'm tuning into, what's happening because we're getting closer. We're 30 days away. Like, yesterday, they announced who the royal wedding cake designer is going to be, I know that.
Oh, F you so much.
Who is it, Mom?
So Fiona Carnes.
Oh.
She's going to be making a treat.
Oh, I can't believe Fiona got it. I had all my money on Monty.
She does good buttercream.
Wow.
Yeah,
by the way, I think except for the animal thing, I'm very deeply in love with your mother right now, Alex. I know this is disturbing to you, but I think I may have to get me a piece of that.
My mom is probably the only person on the planet who could bean with knowing information before Bean.
Okay,
does.
But wait a minute.
Sounds like it.
That brings up another question, because if you watch the news as closely as Bean, by the time I'm interested or anyone else is interested, Bean is already over it, past it. He's seen too much. If you're watching that much, aren't you going to burn on it before the wedding?
No.
You're not?
This is not something that happens all the time. It's an event that pops up. It's kind of like the Oscars, the Emmys, the Grammys, the Super Bowl, the Stanley Cup, everything rolled into on a world stage. But it is, the viewing audience is outrageous.
It is. No,
it's outrageous.
Right. You're right, it is. Would you be there in person if you could, Mom?
No, because I always believe the best seats in the house is the one in your living room in front of the television set.
This is my woman. This is the woman I've been waiting for.
I'm so with you.
Everything is better on television than in person. I'm so with you.
Oh yeah, totally, because you get the play-by-play. You can go. You can channel surf. You can split screen. It's so much better.
Do you have room for Bean at your royal wedding party?
I may go to the party. I may have to go to the party.
Probably no
boys allowed, I imagine, right?
No, do you guys
Bean has a
that?
Vagina. That works perfectly.
Yeah,
that's right. You don't, right. So you're good. Well, actually, I think Bean does have a vagina.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, you're correct.
I think we're good, yeah. Okay.
All right.
Well, did you guys know that the Queen has 600 guests coming?
Ooh.
Yeah, we haven't really been paying that close attention to the details, I'm sorry to
say. That's a lot of stamps.
All right. I think we need to keep in touch with Mom. I think she needs to be our royal correspondent so we can cut her off and tell her we're not interested every time.
Maybe in a couple of weeks we can call. You can just kind of give us an update on what we've missed by not paying attention to the coverage for the next 2 weeks. You can just give us the highlights, perhaps.
All right, that sounds great.
All right. Well, you are awesome, and we love working with your daughter, and thanks so much for coming on the air with us, and we'll talk to you again soon, all right?
She
needs a raise, guys.
Bye. Bye. Oh, my God. Bye.
There's more than just a read-through.
That's the same. It's a world-famous K-Rock at 6:56.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday. We'll talk to journalist Lisa Ling coming up after the top of the hour. She has a show called Our America. We will speak with her about the investigation she did on online brides. I'm not talking about meeting a chick on Facebook. I'm talking about online brides. Yeah. You go to another country and buy yourself one.
Loser.
What can go wrong with that?
How desperate are you if you got to go buy yourself someone to marry?
And hers was, this story is specifically about going to Colombia.
Just live your life. Just be single and live your life and get a good job and have some friends. Just, you know, oh, you're so pathetic.
That may be easier to say if you are able to get a girl, though, Ralph, than if you're not.
Well, that's possible.
But it's not the end-all and be-all.
Says someone who has the choice
to get married. But this isn't about getting a girl. This is basically getting a hooker, but like long term, like going to another country, a hooker wife. Yeah, look, if you need to get laid or whatever, then just get a hooker, whatever you need to do. But to go out and find someone in a foreign country who's desperately in need, obviously, of money, so they're selling their matrimony to you, and
they're doing it because they live in poverty.
Oh, God, the whole thing just reeks of just pathetic, horrible loserness.
And Bean has a friend who's done it.
Of course he does.
Yeah, so does Lisa, by the way.
Yeah, so does Lisa. Bean's loser friends.
We will discuss
food and take it to Hawaii with them.
Coming up after the top of the hour, but first, here's Ralph Garvin with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Losers! Speaking of losers, I was furious last night at those judges judging Chelsea Kane the way they did when she danced on Dancing with the Stars. Unacceptable. I thought she was brilliant.
I don't know who she is.
Did you watch last night?
I did, but barely. I mean, it's hard to pay attention.
She was the one in that little doll outfit who did sort of like the quirky, weird sort of...
With the mime?
Yeah.
Well, whatever.
She's amazing.
All I know
she's got talent.
That's Petra Nemkova.
Yeah.
Oh, that's all I know.
Those are some legs right there, aren't they? Yeah. And apparently Mike was on. I don't know. I didn't stick around to watch that part. But the other people on it were very, very good last night. Ralph Macchio, I really was impressed by him once again.
But wasn't the complaint on your girlfriend Chelsea Kane not that she didn't do a great dance, but that it went outside the boundaries of the jive, which is the dance she was supposed to be doing? That was the problem,
and
right?
And her pro, whoever that dude was, addressed that and said, we did all the elements of jive. We had this move, we had this move, we had I swung her between my legs, we did the jive thing. He, like, pointed it out that they incorporated all those elements of the jive, but also in a sort of a contemporary, interesting, cool... And what was the song they played? We played on K-Rock.
I don't even remember.
The song they danced to.
You guys know we're on the air, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But look, hey, no. You can't talk about, Dancing with Stars, and then I start watching it, and then tell me, don't get involved in watching it.
You'll watch it all the time. It's just vote. You don't have to watch to vote.
I did vote.
Right.
Go Macchio. You know me.
I hope you'll tell Mike that when we have him on later.
Yeah, I will. Look, I am in the International Council of Ralphs, and I am under an obligation because of my membership to vote for Ralph Macchio.
Oh, I see.
There's only so many of us in the world, and we're obligated to stick together. I know for a fact Macchio bought Sharktopus last week.
Is that right?
It's a tit-for-tat thing.
You have to support each other.
Exactly. All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Charlie Sheen, he's done it now. Here's the thing, Charlie. You can shoot your girlfriend. You can beat a hooker and lock her in a bathroom. You can abuse any number of women that you want. But you F with a dog and people will come down on you in this country. Now you have done it.
Hey, that's when I turned on him.
Yeah, there's something a lot of wrong with that.
But apparently this story that TMZ broke yesterday about his mistreating his two pugs that he had with Denise Richards, turning a lot of people against him. It's hilarious to me that this is the thing that they draw the line. He shot a woman. Did I bring that up? Did I mention that before? Shot her. Anyway, yeah, people are returning tickets, furious, letter writing campaigns, protests. Oh, yeah. He's done. He's finished. Not in America, Charlie Sheen. Oh, no. You can abuse all the women you want. Feel free. But don't you touch our dogs.
What about the dogs?
What about the dogs?
What about the dogs?
Meanwhile, Lindsay Lohan says her mom may have spoken out of turn.
Really? Huh.
Lindsay's denying the Weekend Report that she wants to drop the Lohan from her name and just go by one name, Lindsay. Apparently, there's no truth to that rumor, even though Dina Lohan went public with it and said that was going to happen. Turns out Dina has a bit of an axe to grind with Lindsay's dad, Michael.
Oh, and it's his last name.
And that's where I made this stem from.
Wow. But I would hate both of them if I were her.
She's not getting rid of the Lohan, though. She's the one who ought to be using her maiden name to get away from Michael.
She is. She's legally changing her name back to Sullivan, her maiden name. And she's insisting that Allie and the boy, I forget his name, do so as well. And then she said that Lindsay's going to drop the name completely because no one wants anything to do with Michael Lohan. But Lindsay said this week that that's simply not true. At least not for her. She's not dropping the Lohan from her life.
Gotcha.
What chance does that poor girl have?
I think she's done remarkably well, given the circumstances, quite frankly. The more I hear about her parents, the more I think it's amazing that she has done what she's done.
Yeah.
That she has gotten as far in this world as she has. I wish her the best. And the Archie Comics Company has announced the first openly gay character in the world of Archie and Jughead and Betty and Veronica is getting his own comic book. His name is Kevin.
Of course it is.
And he is going to get his own four-issue series that will deal with some heavy issues.
Well, they give him four whole issues.
Well, he's part of the gang, but they're going to do a special spin-off series that shows how Kevin arrived in Riverdale and became pals with Archie and the gang, and also how he struggled with coming out to his parents and dealing with bullies. First issue will be out in June.
It was really just a visual paradise.
It is. It's a visual paradise. The entire comic book visually paradisio.
Today's celebrity birthday is Christopher Lambert's 54 years old today. He, of course, the Highlander. There can be
and the runner-up on American Idol last season.
Nope. That's Adam Lambert.
Oh, sorry.
Perry Farrell of Porno for Pyros and Jane's Addiction is 52 years old today. Model Elle McPherson is 48. John Popper of Blues Traveler turns 44 years old today. Actress Lucy Lawless. She was Xena, the warrior princess. Oh, but she would put on that leather skirt and throw that thing around and wear that bustier and be all warrior
penis down.
Princessy. What?
What?
What? She's 43. No bell for Lucy Lawless?
I gave it to her.
Very tepid. Okay. It was super in the background.
Not... Well, because of the penis. The penis. I had to take some.
She doesn't have a penis.
I don't know,
and she
man.
Was one of the Cylons of Battlestar Galactica, too.
I know.
Looking
I
way
know.
Hot on that.
She has an Adam's apple. You. I know that.
She doesn't have an Adam's apple.
Have an Adam's
What's
Adam's
wrong
Adam.
With you people? You're intimidated by strong women. That's your problem.
If she's a woman, then Wendy Williams is a woman, too, by the way.
How dare you compare Lucy Lawless to Wendy Williams?
I'm just saying.
No comparison.
Yeah, but still.
And our own Kevin Ryder celebrates his birthday today as well. So happy birthday, Kevin.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
When I heard about this show called Our America with Lisa Ling, I thought, why have I not been watching this? This sounds so fascinating. And then I realized it was on Oprah's TV network. And I thought, oh, that's how I missed it. Lisa, how can I watch your show but not support Oprah? What am I supposed to do with this?
Come on. You can do it. It's so good.
The show does sound interesting. I guess tonight at 10 o'clock, March 29th, tonight at 10 on OWN, you're going to be doing an update on the stories that you've done so far this season, including you're talking to people from Christians who are in Pray the Gay Away, which do they believe that works?
Well, there certainly are people who do believe it works. I mean, many medical associations have completely disproven that there is no scientific evidence to say that it does work. But there are people who don't believe that homosexuality is in line with their faith. But by the same token, we also cover this amazing camp where kids go and they are free to be gay and praise God at the same time. And the purpose for me in doing that show was to just show that God loves all. And I'm not someone who considers herself religious at all, but I get so annoyed by condemnation from this church that's supposed to espouse love by God.
Right. Yeah. And the reason you wanted to do this series, Our America, is just because there are lots of fascinating stories out there like that one that there's not enough time in the nightly news, for instance, to cover. They need you need an hour to explore something like that, right?
Absolutely. And it's funny that you mentioned the Oprah Network, because actually so many guys have been tuning in to the show because we go pretty deep, and we spend time in communities with a faith healer who goes and tries to heal people people of serious ailments. We spent time in a colony of sex offenders in the middle of the woods of Florida because there are over 700,000 sex offenders in the United States. We followed some American men to Colombia to go in search of their bride.
That's what got our eye. Is the online brides to me just seems pathetic. And I did watch this episode, and you follow a dude over there. What was your... Let me just play a clip to set up what this is, these romance trips or whatever they call it.
David will meet women like Edna, a 21-year-old nurse from Barranquilla, Colombia. Edna will meet people like David, hoping to make one of them her husband. In a few days, 10 American men will fly all the way to Colombia to find a wife. They will meet hundreds of women, hundreds of Ednas.
I have never gone on one of these romance tours ever. I'm really looking forward to the experience.
That's the dude.
And you have to hear this. Okay, so over the course of a week, these 10 American men will be introduced to hundreds of women. They go to these social events at night, and there will be 100 beautiful Colombian women, like, dressed to the nines, or really, like, hardly dressed at all.
Right.
They'll sit around tables, and then each guy will go around to a table of 10 women with the translator, and he'll have to sort of impress them and find out. It's kind of like speed dating, but you get 10 women per table.
It's speed dating, but it's also like speed eating. Like if they were starving and you throw a piece of meat in there. You know what I mean? You go,
now, do these women all show up because they are they desperately poor and just want to move to America? Is that their draw and they don't care about love or any kind of attraction?
Well, that's what I thought. And certainly there are some women who may look at this as an opportunity for a green card. But I was actually surprised to meet a number of women who weren't in their 20s. I mean, there were women in their 40s, beautiful women still, who went just to really, really find love. And that's one of the reasons why I love this series so much, because I always go into it thinking, okay, these women are going to be completely exploited, or I have this preconceived idea of what the story is going to be like. And inevitably, when I get into the field and start getting immersed, I find that there's so much more complexity. And in fact,
but I got the feeling while I was watching it that you found the 5% that was reputable out of the 100.
No, that's not true.
I don't know. I'm just saying my idea is it's pathetic. These guys, they have to go to Colombia 2,000 miles away, and they don't even learn the language.
Yeah, tell me about the guys, Lisa. What was your perception, and how did that clash with the reality when you met some of these guys who were going on these romance trips?
Well, here's when I thought that they would be all kind of these pathetic guys, as you said. But and some of them certainly might have a problem finding women.
You think?
Here in the United States, but a couple of them were perfectly decent, not bad looking guys, and their whole thing is, because I asked them, like, what's wrong with American guys, American women, why do you have to feel you need to go over to Colombia? And they said, you know what, we just don't want to do the cheesy bar scene, and American women, they're sometimes a little tough, you know, and they're a little career minded, and these Colombian women, they think are more family oriented, and so on.
Aren't they also more docile and willing to take orders, though? Aren't they really looking for just a woman who doesn't fight them on stuff?
No lip? Is this the no lip?
They might think that, but a couple of the women that the guys ended up going on dates with and interacting with were actually the stronger women, the more kind of independent women. So let's just say that when I went there, my kind of perception of things changed.
Well, you don't go to Colombia if you want a girl that won't mouth you.
No, you go to the Philippines, which is where
we've all seen Modern Family. We know how mouthy the Colombian broads are.
Exactly.
What kind of, if you know, and I don't know how much data exists on this, this is the voice of Elisa Ling on the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about her special tonight, Our America, a Closer Look special on the OWN Network at 10. What's the long-term statistics on these mail-order brides or online relationships working out? Do you know, Lisa?
Well, according to the company that we followed, they say that relationships that are begun this way actually have a longer lifespan than other relationships. Because I think they make an extra effort to make it work because they go through the whole green card process and so on. So they do have statistics available, whether you can corroborate them or not.
Right.
Don't know. But the language thing for me would probably be a little bit challenging.
You think?
Yeah. That's how they stay together so long. They have no idea what the hell the other person is talking about. All right. Last question for you, Lisa, and I'm very excited to have you on the program. And the show looks great tonight. But were you surprised that anyone in Columbia in 2011 was named Edna? I was.
Edna was hot, by the way.
I mean, Edna, really?
I think that it's kind of like that sort of nerdy chic thing. I think it's really cute, actually. I like the name Edna.
You want to be an Edna in Columbia. You don't want to be an Edna in the United States.
Oh,
maybe
that's
very different, Lisa. Very different.
Our America with Lisa Ling, a closer look special. Again, we talked about the online brides mostly, but there's a bunch of other stories that you'll get an update. And I assume you're working on another season or another batch of shows?
Another season, and it's the best work I've ever done, and I think it's really provocative television, so I hope people check it out. And by the way, I'm a huge fan of you guys. I listen to you every morning when I'm in L.A.
Thank you. I don't buy it.
Huge.
Appreciate it, Lisa. Thanks a lot for coming on today. Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys.
Bye now. All right. So we want to take calls from, if you know, Bean knows somebody and Lisa knows somebody who got a spouse this way.
And I'm going to tell you, and I will when we come back, the opposite of the story that you're painting about just a pathetic loser who's looking for somebody that he can abuse.
I'm going to verify that story.
All right. We'll talk about it next with your phone calls too. 1-800-520-1067 on the Kevin and Bean. We're going to give you tickets for the fancy schmancy section of Kevin and Bean's April Foolish Day in just a couple of minutes. So stand by. We'll give you details on how you can win them. Right now, we're talking about online brides. Lisa Ling, the journalist, was just on with us talking about a special she's got on tonight, talking about people who travel to other countries on these romance tours to find wives. Now, to me, Kevin, this isn't something that I would do, because I'm irresistibly attractive to the opposite sex.
Sure.
But why isn't this a win-win for everybody? Why doesn't Edna in Colombia get what she wants? And why doesn't David or Daniel, whatever his name was, get what he wants? Why isn't it good for both parties?
David
here?
Or Daniel has to go to Colombia because he can't score an American woman.
Yeah.
Edna accepts him because she wants out of poverty. That's the way it seems. That's the way it seems. I watched the whole special. Some of the women, by the way, and this goes against my theory, some of the women turned down the guy. Can you imagine going all the way to Colombia and paying however much it was? And she went, no.
He can't score there either.
Okay, now, but doesn't that work against your theory that these women are desperate, though? I mean, if they are able to turn them down, then clearly they're not in a poverty situation that they must get out of today.
Yes, but most of them, it seems like they are willing to settle because of their situation.
And I think depending on the country, because the Philippines, to me, that's where men go.
Or Thailand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they find women who girls, pretty much do
Thailand,
whatever.
Little boys.
Yep.
No, but they call these romance tours. They also call them marriage tours.
Yeah.
And I think that's, I don't know. I mean, the guy that she highlighted, to me, it looked like he was a decent guy just looking for a girl. And I can see why he wouldn't be able to get a girl here. So,
right.
But going someplace else where they have lower standards, to me, just seems creepy and bad. Why don't you step it up a little and deserve someone here?
The guy that I know that did this, it was the same thing. Decent guy, but super passive, had a terrible first marriage. She just walked all over him. And you could just see how he doesn't know how
to survive.
Meet women. And he got a girl from Russia.
And how'd that work out?
They're still together as far as I know. They
Has
had a
been
couple
5 years?
Of kids. Yeah, it's been over 5 years.
Huh. Let's talk to Stephanie real quick on line 3. Stephanie worked for a mail order or online wedding bridal company, and she should have some insight. Stephanie, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks a lot for calling.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
How would you characterize, we don't have a lot of time, unfortunately, although I am fascinated with this topic, how would you characterize the men and the women who are participating in these online mail order companies?
Well, the company that I worked for, it was mainly Russian and Asian women.
Okay.
And it was, these men pretty much either felt like they couldn't find an American woman, and they just did like a last-minute choice. And, you know, they just decided, well, I can't find a woman here, so I'm going to try something else.
All right, but did they go to get an Asian woman or a Russian woman because these people were in a situation where they needed to lower their standards low enough to meet the guy?
Well, I think the men just wanted someone to take care of them. A lot of Asian women, you know, grow up, they learn how to take care of the men, take care of the husband, cook and clean for him, and they don't
like they should, right? were these guys, and did you have much conversation with these American men? Were they just disappointed with American women? They just didn't like their attitudes?
I guess so. None of them really said much about American women. A lot of men have fantasies about Asian women, so they
That's
might
true,
as well.
Yeah.
Find
well,
a wife.
The one thing
there.
We know is there's no Asian women in America.
Can't find those anywhere.
We know that for a fact.
All right, Stephanie, thank you very much for the call. Now, the guy I know, and they have been together, last I heard, they were still married, and it's got to be, it's got to be, oh, it's definitely over 5 years, maybe closer to 8 or 9 at this point. He was a guy. Now, bear in mind, I live on a tiny island of less than 10,000 people. You can imagine that the available marriage pool for a guy who's 50, say, has got to be pretty tiny, especially if you rarely leave the island.
Can he not get off the island?
Well, I mean, you know, he has a full-time job on the island, spends most of his time on the island, doesn't go over to town very often, and there's not a lot of women available to him.
Did he go overseas?
Yes, he went to Russia. He went to Russia.
He can fly to Russia over the Atlantic Ocean, yes, but he can't get from the island to Seattle.
That's a good point.
Are you kidding me?
But you fly to Russia one time and you meet hundreds of women that you get the opportunity to get to know and choose from, as opposed to going over, you know, to Seattle 4 times a week and maybe meeting one woman.
What a gigantic loser.
And I'm telling you, he's not a gigantic loser. I mean, he's an older guy. He's not in the best shape, perhaps. You know, he looks like most guys who are his age, but he's not a bad guy. He's not an abusive guy. He loves her to death. She seems very, very happy, and it has worked out well for both of them. I mean, that's the only personal experience I've had with this, and it seemed like it was a win-win for both couples, parties, I mean.
I'd like to talk to her.
Well, you could, but she still doesn't speak English.
Let's talk to Caitlin real quick. Hi, Caitlin.
Hello.
Your uncle got a bride from Russia.
He did.
Okay.
I hate to say it about a blood relative, but I'm sorry. He's definitely a pathetic loser. He started balding when he was 20.
Okay. So he was never going to find an American lady.
Yeah, probably not. But here's 2 reasons we knew it wasn't going to work out. One, she cried every day.
Isn't one enough?
Almost got deported when she committed a civil offense in Florida, so she hit a bus driver with her lunch bag.
Wow.
So that worked out well, you would say?
You had me as she cried every day. That's all I need to know.
Wait, your uncle is now looking in China?
Yeah. Come on. Wife number 2. The good thing I got out of it, though, is I have an awesome cousin.
Oh, well, that's good. I'm glad.
That's fantastic.
All right.
All right, Caitlin, thank you so much for the call. So we'll leave it there. So our advice is do or don't do online brides. What do we decide?
It depends on the level of patheticness.
All right, listen, April Foolishness. It's happening this Saturday night. It is sold out at the Gibson Amphitheater. By now, you know how awesome the show is. It's the best comedy event that's going to be on stage anywhere all year long. We are giving away tickets up close in the fancy schmancy section. Now, I believe, tell me if I'm wrong here, Kevin, I think that also includes the meet and greet with the Kevin and Bean Show before the show.
If you want
also get. We won't be offended if you don't show for that. You also get the exclusive Kevin and Bean April Foolishness t-shirt. You get that. And this is a good one. You get backstage parking, which is right up close to where, you know, Ray Romano parks. So basically that's what we've got to give away at 1-800-520-1067. We're looking for fans of comedy and, in fact, fans of the comedians on the bill on Saturday night. What do we want them to do when they call?
I think we'll keep that a secret.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We have time.
Really?
Yeah. You don't want to?
I think we should play it once.
All right.
Let's play it once. We got to at least give them an idea of what it is they're trying to do, because a lot of people will get on the line who have no skills in this arena.
Flavor. We're going to play a montage of comedians. You have to tell us who they are in the order.
Flavor Flav.
Hot.
Yeah. Call it Snooki.
Okay, there it is. So we're looking for those comedians, all of whom are on the bill this Saturday night. Tell us who they are in order. You win fancy schmancy tickets. Call right now, 1-800-520-1067 on the Kevin and Bean Show. April Foolishness happening this Saturday night. You excited about it, Kevin?
I am. I love this show.
That's your birthday present. Congratulations. Got that for you. It is, of course, completely sold out. We want to thank, again, the Wounded Warrior Project and also the NICU over at Cedars-Sinai Hospital for allowing us to donate money, because who wouldn't, right? It's a great lineup, too, with Jimmy Kimmel and the band from his television show, Cleto and the Cletones. Doug Benson is going to be there. The Axis of Awesome, Ray Romano, Jim Jeffries, Patton Oswalt, Bill Burr, Steve-O. It's going to be a great show. We want to give away some tickets up close now, the fancy schmancy tickets. We're doing it with a mother effing montage this time around. We're looking for these 5 comedians that are going to be playing on Saturday night in order. Shall we play it again, then go to the phones?
Yes, but first we have an intro. We're going to need a montage. We want to take some montage. All right, so we got that. Now we'll play it, and then we'll go to the phones.
Flavor Flav.
Yeah.
Woo-ho.
Call it Snooki.
There you go.
I am bad at this game, but let's see how you are at 1-800-520-1067. Those 5 in order, you win fancy schmancy tickets. Let's talk to Natalie. Natalie, thank you for calling. Thank you for holding on. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You want to give it a shot?
Gone. Gone.
Wow, she just couldn't take
she
the pressure,
bailed.
Could she?
She's like, I can't do it. Let's go to Shane. Hi, Shane.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Good, thank you. All right, we need the five comedians in order. Here is the montage one more time.
Flavor Flav.
Hot.
Yeah.
Hoo-ho.
Call it Snooki.
Ray Romano.
Correct.
Patton Oswalt.
Thank you for playing. Thank you for playing.
Sorry. He was in there.
Just yeah, not, but we second. Unfortunately, we need him in order. 1-800-520-1067. Maybe somebody out there could give Chip a hand and answer some of these phones. Let's play it one more time.
Flavor Flav.
Hot.
Yeah.
Hoo-ho.
Call it Snooki.
A couple of those are easy, right? I'm not good
absolutely.
At this, I'm
absolutely.
Not good at this
yeah.
game either. I would never even call because I'm terrible at this kind of game. But you can hear Steve-O and you can hear Kimmel. I mean, that's clear. And Ray, come on, people.
All right, you want to try, let's try Peter. Peter's on line 4. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. You want to give it a shot, my man?
Yeah, I'll give it a shot.
Hey, my man, here's the montage one more time.
Flavor Flav.
Hot.
Yeah.
Hoo-ho.
Call it Snooki.
It's Ray Romano.
Correct.
Doug Benson.
Correct.
Steve-O.
Yes.
Patton Oswalt.
Yes.
Jimmy Kimmel.
Nicely
yeah.
done.
How about
yeah.
that? How about that?
Come on. Just rattled them off. That's sweet. Well, congratulations. You're our winner.
You right
got
on, thanks,
you got tickets in the fancy schmancy section, which is right up front. You get to park backstage. You get a meet and greet if you're inclined.
Hey, come say hello. I want to meet the guy who can win this game, all right? But definitely come up and all shake right. our hand on Saturday night.
Right on.
All right. Thank you, man. Congrats.
Coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show, right after the top of the hour, we'll talk to the next contestant voted off Dancing with the Stars, Mike Catherwood.
Well, what? It's not official yet.
Come on. The writing's on the wall right
there.
Still
got 10 hours or so.
Can you still vote? Apparently you can vote online now. You can vote for, I don't know what the, how, I don't understand how this works.
I think any 10 times from any phone number or email address, I believe, is how it,
okay.
how it rolls.
So you can go to, we have the links on KevinandMe.com where you can go right to ABC and go to Dancing with the Stars and you can vote for Psycho Mike and try to keep him on the show. Look, I tease because I love. Obviously, I want Mike to do very well in the competition. I'm looking forward to talking
about that. It's too late for the one who do well in the competition. Don't get me wrong.
Just wanted to make it to week 2.
That's a foregone conclusion. That's no longer an option after week 1 and 2. Maybe next week he could do well, but for the first 2, no. I'm just saying, don't say he's voted off because that hasn't happened.
That hasn't happened yet.
Right.
All right. Time for the showbiz beat. Now here's Ralph Graber.
I think it is 10 or 11 times you can vote from any one email address if you go online.
Okay.
That's why I've got like 20 Gmail addresses.
Good.
All
to vote for Ralph Macchio.
All with Macchio in the screen name. Before I get to show business news, I would like to give away some passes to the very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of Hannah. Happens at the Arclight Theater in Hollywood on Thursday, April the 7th. If you are in Southern California, do yourself a favor. Go see a movie at the Arclight.
Yeah, it's best.
It's a little more expensive, but it really is just a whole other experience. Just my favorite theater in the world. And they got a bar there.
They do.
And that's all I ask, really, is alcohol.
And you can pick your seats ahead of time.
Yep. And it's like a concert. You go there and you find where you want to sit and you can reserve it. So it's pretty cool. Anyway, it's happening Thursday, April the 7th, the special advanced screening of Hannah. It's in theaters everywhere the next day, Friday the 8th, if you don't win. But the first 3 callers right now, 1-800-520-1067, will get a pair of passes to attend. Please enjoy. I mentioned earlier this morning that Charlie Sheen and this dog thing was getting a lot of traction. Well, now apparently it is on a vile Twitter war between Charlie Sheen and Denise Richards, who, of course, was the owner of the two pugs. She got them for the kids.
Right.
When they split up, Denise gave the dogs to Charlie because she thought it would be better for the kids to have the dogs at that house. They'd feel more at home at his house when they went to visit because the dogs would be there.
Okay.
He reportedly mistreated the dogs so much so that one of them died of what they're saying is malnutrition. Denise is upset about it, but Charlie is firing back via Twitter. Today, he tweeted his 3 million followers, by the way. Did we mention he's got 3 million Twitter followers?
Yet he doesn't have time to put a bowl of food out for his dog once in a while?
We must bombard with warlock napalm that traitor and loser whore, Denise Porards. See, her name is Denise Richards.
Oh,
in the Twitter, he calls her Denise Porards.
This is so the mother of some of his children, right?
Yeah,
so
the traitor, whore, loser, Denise Porards, a vile kidnapper and now dog thief. Hate, he ended his tweet with.
He wants to keep not feeding them.
That's right.
Oh, I'm so bored with him.
If you didn't know who Charlie Sheen was, how old would you guess he is based on that tweet?
13?
Yeah.
It sounds like a death threat that Vanessa Hudgens would get over Justin Bieber or something.
Right. You wouldn't take seriously because it's from such a child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tragic. You know what else is tragic? Mary Hudson wants to write a book.
Who's that?
Mary Hudson is Katy Perry's mom.
Oh.
She wants to write a book about her daughter.
No. Yeah. Tell-all?
Not really a tell-all. Okay. Pretty much just a disappointed-in-all book.
Oh. Why is she hating on Katy?
Keep it to yourself,
Mary
Mom.
Hudson is a California preacher, and she is a little disappointed in her daughter.
Yeah, but that's a private family matter.
Well, apparently it's not. it's fodder for a book.
Look, my mom's disappointed in me too, but she's not writing a book.
Sure. Everyone's disappointed in you, though. Mary Hudson is shopping a book around about raising Katy, and there have been some excerpts leaked from the proposal by the New York Post.
Wow.
Seeing Katy in concert, Mary Perry Hudson writes that she envisioned her daughter not as a singer, but as a Catherine Kuhlman type of leader, healer, rather. I don't know if you know who Catherine Kuhlman is, but she was a famed evangelist and faith healer.
Okay.
That's what Mary wanted for Katy, to be a faith healer.
Okay.
No, it's not okay.
I mean,
because that's a sham. It doesn't exist. She really can sing. You know what she can't do? Heal someone from touching them.
I'd rather she sing about kissing girls. That's what she's here
Me
for.
Me too.
Mary writes, she sang out, "I kissed a girl and I liked it," while thousands joined her. One part of my heart soared, but the other part broke for the thousands of hungry souls being fed something that didn't nourish their spirit, but fed their flesh.
Wow.
Hey, keep it to yourself, Mom.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
She also discusses her disapproval of Katy's cleavage-showing performance outfits.
Overruled!
And her displeasure with her daughter's fiancé, now husband, Russell Brand. Oh, don't write books, parents of stars.
And who can dislike anything Katy Perry does?
Not I.
But that's not the point. The point is, isn't your family supposed to just keep that inside the family? She could be heartbroken. Don't tell people.
I hear you,
Bad
brother.
Mom.
I hear you. Lastly, it is Tuesday. That means new CDs and DVDs. Quick update of what's available out there. King of Limbs by Radiohead. Their new CD is available today. Femme Fatale Deluxe, the new Britney Spears CD, is available. Gimme Some by Peter, Bjorn, and John. Something to Die For by The Sounds. On DVD, Black Swan, Fair Game, All Good Things, and Tangled are released today. And TV on DVD, Mad Men Season 4 released today. If you missed it, pick it up in the DVD box set. A lot of Mad Men news today, by the way. Talks from AMC. A lot of people afraid that AMC is going to cancel Mad Men.
Okay.
Because Matthew Weiner is in heated negotiations with AMC right now over...
Who is that? Is he the...
He's the creator.
Okay.
The creator of the show. Over the show's content, a lot of contractual things being worked out for him to get his agreement for the next two seasons, for seasons 5 and 6.
Today, I'm nervous about that too, by the way.
There was a rumor today that AMC was going to cancel the show because they could not come to an agreement with this guy. Then there was another announcement just minutes ago from the USA Today saying that AMC has officially authorized production of season 5, even though some of the contract sticking points have not been ironed out yet. But it looks as if they are going to go forward with production. However, because it's starting so late, we won't see any fifth season Mad Men until early 2012.
Oh, my gosh.
A year
so
from
like
now.
A year and a half off from the show, basically, by the time all is said and done.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
About a year from now. So, best case scenario is we'll get Mad Men back in 2012 sometime.
It was really just a visual paradise.
It used to be. Now I'm going to forget everybody and what they did by the time
start
I come
scratch.
Back again. Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays. Perry Farrell, Porno for Pyros and Jane's Addiction, 52 years old. Christopher Lambert is 54. Elle Macpherson's 48. John Popper of Blues Traveler is 44. Lucy Lawless,
by the way, who's also in the new Spartacus on Stars. You can watch that series.
Oh, and she's naked in that,
she's
right?
She's way naked in that, and she's beautiful and does not have an Adam's apple or a penis.
Well, they digitally remove that before they do.
She doesn't. Why do you say that? She's so feminine and hot. Why? Because she played a warrior princess, you think she has to be manly?
No, because she's half man, half woman.
Oh,
that's why.
God. And Kevin, our own Kevin, also celebrates his birthday today. And Bean is a horrible gift giver.
Yes.
Maybe we'll get into that sometime today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I think I'm with you, Kevin. I was watching the Dancing with the Stars last night to support our boy Psycho Mike, and it sounded to me like they were rubbing it in a little bit when they brought him on.
Coming up next, the man who has the distinction of coming in last on our first show with his second chance to redeem himself before tomorrow's elimination. Can he prove he should stay in the game? Radio personality Mike Catherwood and his partner, Lacey Schwimmer.
They won't be here for long, so be sure to give them a big hand as we say goodbye. Hey, Psycho Mike, how are you, my friend?
Good morning, guys. First off, happy birthday, Kevin.
Thank you.
look at you remembering. You're a big star now, yet you still remember the little people you used to work with. That's impressive.
He will until tonight.
Omar wants to know if you're coming back in tomorrow or if you're going to take a couple of days off.
I do get eliminated tonight, which is very probable. They still have you do stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like it doesn't just end, and I go back. Like, I have to fly immediately, red-eye flight to New York to do Good Morning America after doing Kimmel. And then you go back, and there's, this couple-day press tour.
I love that about these shows is they basically make you do the walk of shame. You know what I mean?
They do.
You were thrown off. How do you feel?
The first thing I did was check with the executive producers. I was like, is it like American Idol where if I get kicked off, I have to do the dance that got me kicked off? And they're like, no, you don't have to do that. I was like, all right, cool.
But, Mike, how weird is it going to be for you? And I hope it's not this week. Obviously, none of us want to see you go. I mean, I know how hard you've worked, and I thought you looked really good last night. Let me just get that out there first. I mean, I was impressed with the dance. But how weird is it going to be for you, even though you've had a certain level of fame and you've been hosting your own, national radio show for a while now, to be a guest on Good Morning America? What's going on in the world where you're a guest on GMA?
You're totally right. I mean, you guys know me, really know me as a person. You know me as well as practically anybody in the world. It's going to be so surreal to be treated like I'm somebody.
You're not Jimmy Carter coming in to talk about Israel. I mean, it's just what the hell's happening here?
Exactly. We're involved essentially in now three wars, and there's a good practically nuclear holocaust about to happen, and they're talking to a guy who lights his farts on fire and just did bad ballroom dancing.
Yeah, you know, that's Now, before we talk about your dance last night and how it seemed from your perspective, here's a little bit more from last night's Dancing with the Stars. This is the interview that Mike is doing with his partner, Lacey, talking about what their approach is for week number two.
Look, I'm going to be honest with you. If I want to stick around on Dancing with the Stars, I have no choice but to do a lot better this week. It's jive or die time. This week, main motivating factors: explode Len and Bruno's face with my fiery dance moves.
Sorry, I think snot just came out of my nose.
And then Lacey had snot coming out of her nose, which is why we love her. She's so funny. How tough was the jive, Mike?
Look, all the dances are tough for me. The big thing is the jive was a lot easier for me because it's faster and more energetic, and it didn't matter as much. It wasn't as predicated on grace, which is definitely my downfall. But all these dances are hard because the judges judge you with very strict kind of classic ballroom approach. You know what I'm saying? They don't care how flashy your stuff is. They look at your feet and your hands and your lines in a very strict kind of ballroom fashion. So it's a lot tougher than you could ever think it would be going in, because ballroom dancing is very hard. It's very difficult.
Well, watching you, I have come to understand that. I will tell you, I thought you did so much better last night. But the thing that I really liked was I started to see you come through, like the Mike we know here.
Not lighting farts through, but...
No, not that Mike. But just more of who you are, I started to see, which I really liked.
Well, thank you, Lisa May. I appreciate it. And you guys, honestly, you've been so supportive on and off the air. I really do appreciate it. And it's just been even though I am a terrible dancer, this has been a fantastic experience, and much of that is due to the fact that you guys have been behind me the whole way.
That's correct. We have supported like no other.
Explain this to me, Mike, because I really don't understand this, having never watched Dancing with the Stars in the past. How come you can still vote this morning? Why can't I still go online right now and cast my vote for Psycho Mike? How long does that go? Does it go all the way up until showtime tonight or what?
To the results show, I believe, yeah. And I think, like, the way that they're doing it with the texting and the internet votes is kind of new to this season. So they're kind of sussing that out. But look, I'm not complaining because... some of these Kevin and Bean listeners and Loveline supporters have been, you know, like inventing email addresses to support me. But obviously, my scores aren't going to take me through. So the longer the voting goes, I'm happy.
Right. What do you think about your alleged friend Ralph Garman, who's throwing all of his support behind Macchio?
Macchio's a great man, and look, I don't hold it against Ralph. Macchio's a good dude, and he's a hell of a dancer. And I understand supporting Macchio.
We took a call earlier this morning. Actually, it was an Afro call where a guy said, if you want to beat Macchio, three words, sweep the leg.
Oh, there you go.
I think you need to attack while he's out there dancing.
I have to tell you, Bean, I know you'll appreciate this more than anything. It's an exclusive story behind the scenes at Dancing with the Stars. I'm leaving yesterday, and like the television city's kind of dead, and there's only one person I see in the distance, and it's Petra Nemkova. And she walked up to me, and I'm wearing kind of like an undershirt that's pretty exposing. And she sees like all my tattoos, and she says, "Look at all your tattoos! Oh, so macho!" And I was like, "Yeah, you know, I'm a macho guy with my tattoos." She says, "Do they tell a story?" And I said, "Well, yeah, this one's a Black Flag song, and this is Lemmy from Motorhead, and this is Ozzy Osbourne's signature." And she pauses, and she looks at me with a smile, and she says, "I do not know this music you speak of," and turned around and walked away.
Oh, you had your moment with Petra.
Yeah, and I don't know why I tried to work with the, like, Lemmy from Motorhead romance.
No, but she did. But wait, she doesn't even know Ozzy?
No.
What?
No,
she's
no
a goddamn foreigner,
who
Kevin.
Cares?
What do you expect?
Ozzy isn't just an American.
This is another thing that's weird, Mike, and I know we're almost out of time. The voice of our friend Psycho Mike on the phone, Dancing with the Stars contestant. Please go to KevinBean.com and find out how you can still vote to help keep him on the show. But this is what's so weird is you're in a situation where you're hanging out with Petra Nemkova, and I was thinking about this last night while I was watching the show. In the audience, of course, your friend Dr. Drew was there, but then there's Mrs. Brady from the Brady Bunch, and there's Scary Spice is sitting over there, and, yeah, you know, they got members of the Pittsburgh Steelers in the audience. It's just such a weird show and such a weird crowd. It must be so surreal to be on it.
Oh, no, there's plenty of situations where Dave the King of Mexico, Playmates, and Scary Spice are all hanging out together.
Wait, Dave was there?
Oh, yeah, Dave and our friend Christine from K-Rock came out yesterday, and that was really, like, the weird moment, Bean. You're exactly right, where I'm actually actively having a conversation with Florence Henderson, and I look out on the crowd, and there's my friend, like my high school friends, Dave the King of Mexico, Holly Madison, Master P, and like four Pittsburgh Steelers. And I said, there's no amount of acid that could make this seem right.
No,
in my head.
What world am I living in?
No, it's crazy. Yeah. All right, listen, before we go, how are you feeling realistically? I mean, is it really going to be you or Wendy Williams? I mean, you guys are the two bottom vote getters after 2 weeks. Is it almost certainly to be one of you two going home, or is there some algorithm I don't know about the way this show works?
Like, there's no way of, if you, I have watched a couple of the last seasons and stuff, and there's really no way of knowing, like, because even though you get the, like, low scores, there's no way of gauging how much support you have out there. I mean, Bristol Palin's a perfect example of that. So,
that's true.
I would assume that if anybody's going home tonight, it would be Wendy or I. But no one knows, man. There's always those wild card votes where people just get behind someone, or people
right.
don't like someone in particular, and they don't choose a vote for him. But if I get voted off tonight, so be it. It's been a ridiculously fun experience, and I could get back to, like, living a normal life, which is strange, you know, for me to say, because like you guys said, I got to go be on, like, Good Morning America and Kimmel.
No, it's weird.
Hey, Mike, I had a dream last night, and it was that you were flexing your muscle, and then you were having Lacey kiss it. Did that happen?
Oh, Kevin, that was not a dream. That was an early birthday present for you, Mike.
you did that on television.
Yes, I did.
Are you aware of it? You know you were on TV when you did that.
I mean, you kind of lose sight of that sometimes, just like a lot of times you lose sight that you're on the radio when you're on the radio.
Yeah, stop
but,
it.
Uh,
I thought if I don't have the dance moves, I got to deliver the gun.
That's right.
Deliver the gun.
Our little boy is growing up, and I don't like the man he's becoming.
All right, Psycho Mike. Listen, good luck to you tonight. We'll be watching, and we're doing everything we can to get the vote out there. And I guess we'll just talk to you soon and see what happens next. All right, buddy?
All right. Love you guys. Miss you guys. Thank you.
Bye. See
you,
take care, Mike.
Hey, party people, thanks a lot for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, Brock Lesnar on the program tomorrow. How about that?
Talking about Ultimate Fighter.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe, if I don't have it in front of me, but I believe our friend Jim Jeffries. Is it Jim Jeffries tomorrow? Bill Burr? One of those guys. One of those guys from the Foolishness.
That's why I'm not teasing it. Guys.
Maybe I shouldn't have started down that path.
Yeah.
All right, let's turn our attention to the Oxford English Dictionary, which, frankly, we don't speak about enough on the Kevin and Bean Show for my liking.
Too much for my liking.
Here's the thing about the dictionary, Kevin, that you may not understand, is that if something is used enough, it eventually makes the dictionary. The dictionary, see, is a reflection on how people actually speak. So no matter how dumb something is, eventually it's going to make it in the dictionary if it achieves you know, mass popularity.
So if people say ATM machine.
Yes. One day it will be called the ATM machine. Exactly, right. Yes. As dumb as it is.
Let's say it's daylight savings time.
Well, that's my fear, is that one day that's going to be considered right, right. So every year they come out with their list of new words, and some of them, you know, they won't surprise you because they're things that you can't believe weren't in the dictionary before, like muffin top, for instance. Well, we've been talking about muffin tops forever. La La Land is now in the dictionary, for instance. Couch surfing is in the dictionary. But the reason there's been so much attention this year is because OMG is now in the dictionary, meaning, oh, my God.
Right.
LOL, TMI. BFF and IMHO, which is in my humble opinion. All of those now are in the dictionary. Now, I don't know whether that means you can use them in words with friends or not, but it does mean that they're official in the Oxford Dictionary.
And the heart symbol.
And the heart symbol, right.
Has been added.
So we wanted to find out what the hell is going on over there in England. So we asked producer Alex to line somebody up. And I believe from the Oxford English Dictionary, we have, if I have the name right, it's Professor Stuart Woodman Bridgington?
Yes, hello.
How are you, Professor Woodman Bridgington?
I'm very well. How are you, fellows?
Very good, thank you.
Well, I hope to hear that.
Okay. Well, you don't need to feel the need to work in all of the new words in the conversation that we're having here.
I'm not working anything at all. It's just my natural conversation. I use all sorts of words until ROFL.
Rolling on the floor laughing.
Yes.
Right. Now, explain to us laymen why it's necessary for OMG and LOL and all those abbreviations that really became popular because of texting. Why should they be in the dictionary? Why should they be real words?
Well, as you mentioned, these new words are initialisms, as we call them at the OED. they've become part of the vernacular, the lexicon used by so many people because they're, you know, familiar in using in texts and tweets. And they have become, by definition, part of the vocabulary that people use to communicate with one another.
I heard about half those words, and I think you're drunk. Are you drunk, Professor?
No, okay. At all. And so we use those in the Oxford English Dictionary so that people can use them if they have them in a conversation. They look them up in the book and say, yes, oh, yes, quite, yes, I understand what that means now, of course, absolutely.
Okay, Professor, here's what confuses me, though. It's one thing to say I love you, and maybe it is a different meaning.
Thank you. I love you, too. I'm saying, a very handsome man.
No, I'm saying, as an example, I love you doesn't mean to say...
I love you, too. Thank you so much.
When people say I heart you, I get that that means something different than I love you. I get why that's a different expression.
Yes.
But why do you need to put the little symbol of a heart in the dictionary? That's just stupid, isn't it?
No. No, it's not different at all. Because the heart has become in symbolic of the word itself. Not the word heart and the symbol heart have two completely different connotations.
What? They're completely what, sir?
Two completely different connotations.
Oh, I see.
If you see the heart as in I Heart New York, the famous advertising campaign,
right.
That is symbolic of the word heart, but it's not the word heart in and of itself, you see.
Okay, I may not be smart enough to understand the distinction there. I'm sorry, Professor.
No, because the heart, look, I heart my dog is very different than I love my dog. Because if I heart my dog, it means I have affection for him and he's very popular for me personally. If I say I love my dog, it means I'm getting out the peanut butter.
Okay, I was afraid that's where you're at.
What I'm saying? It's very different.
Very
different.
Yeah.
And for instance, if I say, oh, look at that fat bitch. That's one thing. If I say look at the muffin top, then you know exactly what kind of fat bitch she is.
She's
a fat bitch who wears her pants too tight and her voluminous stomach is spilling over the waistband.
Right. Okay. Got it.
So you have to be specific when you use certain words, and that's what the whole Ford Rockford's edition represents.
I didn't understand any of that.
For example, if I call your wife a slunt, It means not only...
How dare you?
Okay, careful here. Professor, please don't.
I'm saying that word has a specific connotation right. to it that can't really be reproduced by any other use of the English language.
Right.
Okay. I say it's time for daylight savings time.
Right.
Oh, please don't.
And you're the type of asshole that says, no, I can't say that.
Saving,
then,
right.
Then I would say you're a bean.
that's
another way we're from the dictionary.
Is that an insult to the dictionary this year as well?
It's neither an insult nor a compliment. It simply means... A pernicious douchebag.
I see how that could be interpreted as a compliment.
Yes, absolutely. If that's what you're going for, then congratulations. You've beaned yourself.
All right, Professor Woodman Bridgington, we will talk to you again next year. Thank you.
It was a pleasure. Always was mine.
What?
I don't know.
All right, where's the Let's Make Fun of Bean Again jingle? Where's that?
I don't have that up.
How about the new jingle? Don't be a douchebag, Bean!
What now, guys? What now?
It's my birthday today. And
happy birthday, Kevin.
Thank you, Ralph. And
happy birthday, Kevin.
Your gift from me, by the way, it hasn't arrived yet, but it's awesome, and it's so much better than what Bean did.
I could have not given him a gift and then just said,
it hasn't arrived yet.
No, that's
yeah,
the
and
Bean
I could have said that. And when it arrives, it's going to be awesome, and we'll talk about it in the show when it gets here, because it will be awesome. But it's already, even, you know what, if I came up with no gift, still better than what you did. That's what I'm saying.
Look, before you unveil it, Kevin, here's what happened. Kevin and I have been giving gifts to each other for a very, very long time. And
Ever since we fell in love.
And we both try hard to find something that the other person likes. But something, I don't know, something about this year. Kevin, you know, Kevin and I are both extraordinarily fortunate people, and we really do have everything
you have
in the
no
world.
Idea. You're the luckiest man in show business. I've told many people that.
We really do want for nothing, and we're extraordinarily lucky because of that. And I don't know, I started chopping around for something for the monkey last week when I realized his birthday was approaching. And then I, you know, every time I did that, then I would see the news of what was going on in Japan, and I thought, why am I buying Kevin something dumb that he may or may not like when I could make a donation in his name to the people of Japan, which is something Kevin is very involved in charity. It's the type of thing that I think that he would appreciate.
Uh-huh.
He'd be happy to see more money going to the people who desperately need it right now rather than some other flashy toy in his garage.
Great. Not a gift. Not a birthday present. Nice thing that you did. Good for you. Good on you.
But I can't be
but
upset.
But not a birthday present.
But Bean made sure that I can't be upset. I'll tell you why. He sent me an email, and it has online donation for the American Red Cross, Japan earthquake, right. and Pacific tsunami.
Right.
And then it says, if you'd like to submit a comment or a prayer or something, write it down. Mm-hmm. So then Bean writes down, I am donating this in lieu of a birthday present to an American like me who is blessed to have a roof over his head, clean water to drink, and food on his table.
That's a nice gesture. Nice of Bean to donate his money.
His name
not
is,
a birthday present is what I'm saying.
His name is Kevin Ryder, and we both wish the very best for the people of Japan. Get well soon.
We all do. We all wish the very best for Japan. Not a birthday present is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Not a birthday present. You know, don't couch it. Don't try to pretend it's a birthday present. Not a present.
Well, it's a birthday present.
No, it's not. That's what I'm saying. It's not a birthday present. You're not hearing me. It's not a birthday present.
Why is Ralph more upset about this than Kevin is?
Well,
the question
I can't
I
be because of what you wrote. Because I'm an American that's blessed.
The volume of douchebaggery that I'm being witness to is not acceptable.
Look, I made a donation to the American Red Cross Japan a couple of weeks
me
ago.
Me too.
And, no, okay. You know what? You made two donations. Covered. That's what actually happened in real life. You made the other one, and then you made this one. You know what's still not? A birthday present.
But I know how Kevin cares, and I know that he's into charities, into helping those that are less fortunate.
Right.
And I thought that this is the type of thing that actually would make him feel really good that his birthday was turning into perhaps food and water and shelter for people who don't have any.
I bet Kevin made his own donation to the.
He said he did. Yeah.
Okay. So all great, and I'm not taking anything away from those gestures. I think it's wonderful. I think everyone should do it. All I'm saying, not a birthday present.
All right, I need some help. Can I get the office to run in, or can I get Alex and Dave and whatnot to run in? Because we need.
You
to
know
take
what the birthday present is? I'm going to make a donation to Red Cross for Japan because I think they need help. Oh, and also, it's your birthday. Here's something for you, Kevin, because I have fond feelings and consideration for you. Two
right.
separate things. That's what I'm saying. They're not connected.
Lisa, what's your ruling on this? You've heard the evidence. What did I make a major mistake by donating in Kevin's name?
I kind of like that.
Is a hater.
Oh, why am I a hater?
This is
Alex.
A very nice present.
I think so too.
I have done this before where I've donated to someone's favorite charity in their name.
Yeah.
Particularly like an animal lover. Mm-hmm. Like I've put money towards like a lion in some cage in some zoo that somebody gave a crap about, and they were really touched. So I could see why Bean would think this would be a nice present for Kevin, because Kevin actually has a heart and is warm inside. Where Bean
but
is
am I wrong?
Dead.
You can see why I would do it, but am I wrong? That's the question on the table.
It's not a wrong thing to do by any stretch of the imagination. It's a wonderful thing to do. I'm just saying it's not a birthday present. You're just saying.
I think it counts as a present, but you can say it's a crappy present, but it's really crappy to say that a donation to help people.
No, I'm not
right.
saying it's a crappy present. I'm saying it's not a present. I'm saying it's a great thing to do to donate to those charities. They're all worthwhile, and they all need money. I get that, and I think it's right of Bean to do. I'm just saying, don't try to pretend it's a birthday present, because that's not what it is.
So if I gave you a donation to something for Christmas, or if I put your name on a plaque for a Philadelphia Eagle thing, that's not a present?
Philadelphia Eagle thing. I don't even know what that means.
She's just trying to drag that in to make it.
I'm trying
to muddy the waters.
Boom! Science fiction.
I just think a donation to someone's
a good thing.
Charity.
Donations are
and
good things.
And that counts as a present.
No, it doesn't. That's where you're failing to realize that the definition of a present is I give you something for you out of my affection for you.
So you're a materialistic
you.
Asshole.
No, I'm saying
you have people to fight your battles today.
No kidding. She's doing a better job than I would.
If I'm giving something to someone else, how does that make me a materialistic asshole if I'm giving someone else
a
gift?
Because you're saying the only thing that counts as a present is something you can touch and hold in your hand.
That's not what I'm saying at all. It could be anything. It could be an experience. I can give Kevin
a BJ.
Exactly.
Whoa!
That was the first thing that came to my mind. Sorry.
Or I can provide him with an experience to go do something that I know he would like to do. It doesn't have to be something of value that is physical or tangible. I'm just saying it's a great thing to contribute to charity. I think everyone should do it. I recommend it and I encourage it. I'm just saying it's not a present.
You still haven't really answered the question.
Yeah, I have.
Because
it's not for Kevin. It's for the people in Japan who desperately need it, but it's not anything I'm giving to Kevin him happy.
In the name of the person, because you know it's for an organization that they like, it's for a cause that they like. It's not like Bean's doing it to some wacky animal charity that only Bean supports and Kevin hates.
Well, you know, it wasn't even a personal charity that Kevin supports. It wasn't like for Friends or Helpers or something that Kevin feels passionately about.
Friends
it's just something... Friends and health,
I think Kevin would be down with the Red Cross in Japan.
Yeah,
I think that's pretty
sick. I know because he already contributed some of his own money to that cause. That was
all
already
right.
covered for him.
So
I would like to know, what have you done for Kevin to commemorate his special day? And you said nothing.
Here's my only question, Bean, and I want the honest truth because this is how I work. I would have realized it was your birthday only yesterday, maybe. And then I would think, what do I do? Now there's not time.
And then you would lie about what you did.
Yes. And then I would find this and I would go, yes! That's awesome!
This will make me look good because I'm giving something to charity and I can pretend I'm still acknowledging my friend's birthday.
So is that true or did you really plan it from a week ago?
I did. I started looking for something for you a couple of weeks back and you're tough to buy for.
Yes.
And then I thought, what the hell am I doing looking for something else for Kevin, the man who has everything, when I could do this thing? So basically what you're saying, Ralph, is everyone wins except for justice. That's what you're saying.
Wow.
No, everyone wins except for Kevin. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying you should have donated the money you donated. It was great. And get a little something for Kevin for his birthday. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
I'm fine. Hey, you know what? I know it's a crazy idea, but I heard they make cards now. I heard they make cards that say happy birthday. Yeah, how about mailing him one of those? How about something?
He sent one to a Japanese kid, he just said. All right. Noted for next year. Thank you.
So Christmas gifts for Ralph, charity donation.
Absolutely.
Yes, totally. Yeah,
absolutely.
Victor writes in, hey, Kevin, happy birthday. Did you like my gift? I gave the bum off the 5 freeway a buck. You're welcome. So
there you go. In your name. In your name. Happy birthday, Kevin.
But he didn't tell the guy it was in my name, did he?
Oh, sure he did. No, I'm sure he did.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. An 8-year-old who's getting Botox and waxing treatments from her beautician mom. That's not going to end well. We will discuss coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Another porn star educator lost her job today.
Porn star?
This is becoming an epidemic, and I'm concerned.
What's a porn star educator?
Well, remember the story of the woman in Missouri who was found out that she used to have an adult film acting past in the 90s? She was a teacher, and the kids found out, and she lost her job? Well, it's happened again.
Unbelievable.
A clerical worker at a secondary school in Quebec. I thought the Canadians were supposed to be nice. It turned out that she used to act in porn movies under the name Samantha Ardente. I don't speak French, but that's got to be hot, whatever it is.
I bet, yeah.
She was in such films as Serial Abusers 2, and other sexy films. Well, it turns out that a 14-year-old boy at the school discovered her porn star past.
Yeah.
I got to give this kid points for sack. She was an office worker at the school. Went up to her after school and asked her for her autograph.
Oh, sweet.
Saying he had seen her work. She refused to give him the autograph and reportedly urged him to keep quiet about her roles in the porn films. I bet she did.
Yeah.
He decided to do the opposite. He created a Facebook page under the woman's name stating where she currently worked and posting photos of her. And the school has suspended her without pay while they determine her future.
And every case, every story that you bring us like this, Ralph, there's no malfeasance on the behalf of the employee. They're doing their job. They're fine. They're popular. They're great.
Right.
Yet because of something legal that they did in their past, now they lose their current job. It's just absurd.
It wasn't like she came on to a 14-year-old or anything. She's filing paperwork.
She was going to.
She wasn't. She was stapling and filing in the office to try to make a buck.
Be disappointed that she quit porn. That's fine. But don't fire her because she's not in it anymore. Come on.
So I sent her a check in Kevin's name for his birthday.
Oh, good.
I hope she appreciates it. Because that's a charity Kevin can get behind.
Yeah.
Is supporting out-of-work porn stars. That's all I'm saying. AMC says Mad Men will be back for a fifth season. Production has been stalled on the wildly popular TV series because of negotiations between creator Matthew Weiner and AMC for the next two seasons. AMC and the studio Lionsgate asked Weiner to put together, first of all, some product placement in the show to help offset costs for producing the show.
Everyone does that now.
I know.
Some do it better than others.
Some do it better than others.
You don't want it to stand out.
I think that would be extremely difficult in that show in the sense that it takes place in the 60s, so you'd have to use brands that have been around at least since then, right? You really couldn't put the Apple iPod in there or something when
I got the new iPad.
Yeah, that's great. Hey, Roger, let's take some notes on our next meeting at Sterling Cooper on this new iPad that I just got from Joan.
All right, so it has to be a business in the 60s.
So that's been problematic. They also want him to eliminate two regular cast members.
Why? Is it just too expensive?
It's a big ensemble cast, and it costs a lot of money to pay all those actors. So he wants to cut two regular cast members.
Okay. Why not let him continue to do the great show he's been doing and give the nod to his creativity instead?
Money.
Oh, I hate this.
They also want him to shave 2 minutes off of the show. It's running time, so they can fit in more commercials. Now, that's what they demand. He, in return, for the next 2 years, as showrunner and creator of Mad Men, would get a paycheck for $30 million. I would be like, Don Draper, here's your six-pack of Budweiser. Campbell, you're gone. I would have no problem. And everybody, rip the last two pages out of the end of the script, because we're cutting the whole thing by 2 minutes. Thank you very much. But he's been fighting them on all of these issues, and that's what's caused the collapse in the production schedule. Here's the thing. AMC announced today that they're going ahead. It's going to happen.
Okay.
They're going to work these things out, but because of this delay, that we won't see any new Mad Men episodes until early 2012.
Wow.
Early 2012.
So another year away from any new Mad Men. That's not good news.
I'm going to forget the plot lines.
Yeah, I already have. So
Don Draper's going to be 65 by the time that show comes back.
The good news is they're all working, though. All the actors, they've got other jobs. January Jones is the new X-Men thing.
That's right.
Mad Men, John Hamm was just in Sucker Punch, so work's to be had. Let's take a look today. Celebrity birthdays. Christopher Lambert is 54 years old today. Singer Perry Farrell of Porno for Pyros and Jane's Addiction is 52. Elle McPherson's 48. John Popper, a blues traveler, the singer, harmonicist, is 44 years old. Lucy Lawless. That's a tepid bell, I'm telling you.
That's for the female side. She just gets a bell.
Why?
One bell
Where
for the woman side.
Where are you coming from with this? That she's no bell half from man, the man, half woman. She's all woman.
Judging her like I do, which is to say, I barely know who she is,
and then just a random judgment slapped on her.
Because I've seen her on TV. That's why.
Yeah.
I know who she is.
Me too.
She's 43 years old.
I thought it was Barry Bonds the first time she came on my screen. That's just Lucy Lawless.
And our very own Kevin Ryder celebrates his birthday today.
I prefer
checks to charities. If you can do that in my name, that's what I prefer.
You know what Kevin really likes? Just say happy birthday to someone else who's not even having a birthday today. That's how you can really honor his birthday. Don't even mention it to him. That's what he likes. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Got one more look at the showbiz beat with Ralph Garman, who joins us in studio this time every hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. What you talking about, Ralph?
Before I get to it, I've also got more tickets to give away to the special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of Hannah.
Yay!
Happens at the Arclight Theater in Hollywood on Thursday, April the 7th. If you'd like to go, first two callers right now who get through at 1-800-520-1067. We'll get a pair of passes to attend the advanced screening. Don't feel too badly if you don't win, though, because it's in theaters everywhere the very next day on Friday, April the 8th. So you can check it out with Eric Bana and that spooky blonde chick who kills people from the wilderness.
She looks scary, doesn't she?
She's way scary. Told you. Nothing creepier in shows than kids.
Yeah.
Especially who have the power to murder. I don't like it.
Remember There's Something Wrong with Esther? What was that movie?
Oh, I don't think it was Something Is Wrong with Esther. I think it was The Orphan.
Oh, The Orphan. Yeah, it was The Orphan.
Yeah. Wrong with
Something's Esther. Wrong with Esther.
Wasn't that a Ben Stiller comedy? The Farrelly Brothers? Where she had something in her hair?
I don't think that's the same thing.
Oh, okay. Hey, guess who's spreading his seed again? Guess who's creating more babies?
Well, it's got to be someone we wouldn't agree with or wouldn't want.
That's absolutely right, okay. On both counts.
This
was having more kids after he's already had too many.
Charlie Sheen?
No, that would be a good guess, though.
Who else shouldn't have kids?
I have to recuse myself on this one, Ralph, but I'm equally horrified.
I don't know.
Kevin Federline?
Yay!
All right. I almost forgot his name.
Yeah. Kevin Federline is apparently expecting his first child with his girlfriend, Victoria Prince.
Now, he's dating now. Victoria Prince?
Oh, yeah. He has been for some time now.
I didn't realize that.
Volleyball superstar Victoria Prince. They've been dating for some time.
Good move.
I don't know who she is.
She's hot.
Too hot for him?
Very hot. Yes. Volleyball superstar.
How many kids does he have, Ralph?
Well, let's count them up, shall we? The two kids with Shar Jackson, who he abandoned for Britney Spears, then two sons with Britney Spears. So this would be his fifth overall.
Good.
He and Victoria have been dating each other since 2008.
What does he do for money? Is he still just living off Britney?
I think he goes to his mailbox in front of the house, picks up the check, and then brings it back in. I'm not sure about this. I could be wrong. He may have someone that actually does that for him. So other than that, I can't imagine what he does.
I wish I used to be married to Britney Spears.
Apparently, it's a very lucrative career.
Yeah.
You can sit around the house and get fat and not really have to worry about working too much if that is...
That's too bad that's happening.
...your job. But, the couple are totally happy, according to friends. I can't imagine she's totally happy. She is dating Kevin Federline.
No, she's got to be miserable.
They got to invent some way to stop the sperm from getting to the egg, don't they? They've got to figure out a way to beat that.
Bean, you're talking science fiction.
I know.
Just
I know
no
it's
way,
not possible. I know.
A way of medically keeping them from reproducing?
No way to create any sort of barrier that keeps the egg and sperm from getting together and fertilizing. It's just not possible.
Okay. Maybe one day.
Because it's only God's will, you know. He decides. Let's say you're getting married. You're Reese Witherspoon and you're Jim Toth.
Okay.
And you invite your friends and you say, oh, this is going to be great because this is about us. And people are going to come to look at us and it's our wedding. And they'll come and they'll look at us. And we'll be the center of attention because it's about us.
Right.
Then Scarlett Johansson and Sean Penn decide to go public with their relationship at your wedding. Who do you think people are paying attention to at the reception?
Lose?
You lose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Reports coming in this week that they went to a lot of effort to make it a lovely event, but all everyone was talking about and looking at was Scarlett Johansson and Sean Penn pretty much being all over each other at the reception because it's the first time really publicly they've acknowledged their May-December romance.
That's sort of weak on their part for upstaging the bride and groom, don't you think?
I'm sure it wasn't intentional.
They have to know that they're going to get that, both of them are going to get that kind of attention?
I think they were probably going to support their friends and attend the wedding. I don't think they went there looking to do that. It just sort of, that's the way it happened. I just feel bad for the bride and groom because, you know.
Hey, what about us?
Expect. Yeah.
Sure.
You know, they know what they should have done. driven up in a Batmobile. That gets people's attention. That way no one can ignore you. If you pull up in the Batmobile,
anybody that would do that at their own wedding,
the man.
Oh, what a dork you would be.
That would be the most awesome thing ever.
You'd be an unbelievable dork.
I just know that if you're showing up at your own wedding in the Batmobile, chances are good it's an online bride that you're marrying. That's what I know.
You, sir.
Those are the kind of people who have to go to Columbia to find a wife.
Ralph showed up at his wedding in a Batmobile. Back to you.
You remember Shifty? Remember Shifty Shell Shock?
Yes.
Seth from, Binzer from Celebrity
Crazy
Apprentice?
Town. Celebrity Rehab.
Or Celebrity Rehab?
Yeah,
same
Crazy
thing.
Town.
Same thing, really. These days, the parts are interchangeable.
That's true.
Yeah, he was arrested.
Yeah. He seemed like he had a bigger problem than most.
He's a recurring character on that show.
Yeah.
He keeps coming back from season to season to season. One of the few remaining cast members that shows up every year.
That's his full-time job
you
now.
You can count on him.
Celebrity
apprentice. I like that.
Apparently, cops showed up at his home to investigate a domestic disturbance.
No.
Turns out he had some outstanding warrants and was taken right to Van Nuys jail, released late Sunday night. It was funny. We did Hollywood Babylon this weekend, me and my buddy Adam Carolla, who used to work with Dr. Drew, famously, of course, on Loveline.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, we were talking about someone who had been in celebrity rehab who had not done so well. And he said, what do you think who has the better success record? Dr. Drew with celebrity rehab patients or Nicolas Cage movies? And we decided it was pretty much a tie. Lately, Drew's patients have not been faring
well. It's
well,
not all up to Drew, though.
I know. I realize that.
Right.
I'm just saying. He is not good at his job. That's all I'm saying.
He
really.
Is good at
he
his job.
He is not a real doctor. Is what
well,
I'm
he did everything but sell the drugs to Mike Starr. Come on.
That's right. Let's face it. Saying, ask Marvin Davis how things went. That's all I'm saying.
And Jason Davis.
Jason
too,
Davis, too. All the Davises. Sammy Davis.
Betty Davis.
Kristen Davis. All the Davises. Beyonce fired her father as her manager. That's going to make dinner awkward. The Knowles house at Christmas.
That's why you don't have family work for you, I think.
Her publicist announced yesterday that Matthew Knowles will no longer be handling his daughter's career. Look at the crappy job he did up till now.
Right.
Maybe finally now she'll be a star. Now that she got rid of that dead weight,
she'll get some attention.
Exactly.
She can finally start having some hits.
He's been the manager since the beginning of her professional career and was the manager of Destiny's Child. No reason was given for the split, at least at the time the publicist made the announcement.
How about that?
But she's on her own. And movie news, Chris Pine will not be doing the Jack Ryan character in the next Tom Clancy film because of production delays, so he's got to do Star Trek. That's going into production. Yeah, he's got to do that first. So he will be suiting up as Captain James T. Kirk before that, but if they'll hold off long enough, he said he would still love to play Jack Ryan. A role, of course, has been played previously by Harrison Ford, and Alec Baldwin, Ben Affleck. So if they want him to star in the franchise, they'll put the production on hold, but he's got to go into space. So they got to wait.
It was really just a visual paradise.
That first film was a visual paradise, Kevin. You're absolutely right.
I stand by that.
And another Frankenstein movie in the works, according to Daily Variety today. Do you know the Frankenstein movie?
I don't know. You know, I didn't hate the De Niro one. There were things about it I liked, but I don't know. Maybe, depending on the people behind it, they might make a good one.
That's one of those that'll keep getting made forever, right?
Yeah, it's one of those characters who will continue.
The original is still the best, though, no matter how many they make.
Yeah, hard to believe a movie that's that old.
I mean, if you watch the original Frankenstein movie, Kevin, you'll never watch it because it's in black and white. It was made in 1933 or 32. Right. It's still terrifying today.
Yeah, it's a great film.
Nope.
The movie will be called I, Frankenstein, because remember, Frankenstein was the doctor, not the creature. The creature's name is the creature. The doctor was Frankenstein. So don't call the creature Frankenstein.
Oh, I thought
if
it was.
If you do, Bean will write you a strongly worded letter.
Thank you for the
you
warning.
Can call it Frankenstein's monster. That's okay.
That's the bet. That's all you can do. You can't say, you don't go to Universal Studios and say, oh, look, Frankenstein's walking around. No, that's not Frankenstein. That's the creature. Frankenstein was the doctor.
Thank you for that, Ralph.
Don't get me started. And daylight saving time. Come on, people. Get with it. I, Frankenstein's the name of the movie. It's going to be set in the present day, so it'll be about modern grave robbers and trying to reanimate a corpse and stuff. So it's got that going for it.
I think Rob Zombie needs to remake that movie.
Ooh, he'd be good at it. It's no nudist colony of the dead, but I'm telling you, it's got a lot of promise. Today's Tuesday. That means new releases on CDs and DVDs. Here's what you can look forward to. It's King of Limbs by Radiohead. Their new one is available today. Femme Fatale, the deluxe edition by Britney Spears. Rolling Papers by Wiz Khalifa. Dogumentary Music by Snoop Dogg. About time Snoop released a CD,
is.
By the way.
It's been too long. It's been like a week.
Gimme Some by Peter, Bjorn, and John. Something to Die For by The Sounds. On DVD, Tangled with Mandy Moore and Zach Levi. Black Swan, Natalie Portman and Mila Kunis. Fair Game, starring Naomi Watts. Naomi Watts as Valerie Plume in that film. All Good Things, starring Ryan Gosling and Kirsten Dunst. On TV, DVDs, Mad Men Season 4. Treme, the complete first season, In Plain Sight, Season 3. And Xena, Warrior Princess, Season 2. It's not a dude. It's Lucy Lawless, who's a beautiful woman. I'm getting a lot of flack because you guys don't appreciate her beauty.
She has extra chromosomes somewhere.
She doesn't. She's lovely, and she celebrates her birthday today at 43 as we kick off celebrity birthdays. John Popper of Blues Traveler is 44. Elle McPherson is 48. Perry Farrell of Porno for Pyros and Jane's Addiction is 52. Christopher Lambert, the Highlander, is 54. And our own, our very own Kevin Ryder celebrates his birthday today. Bean went all the way to Japan to get him a gift, and I think that is really showing your friend how much you care. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This has nothing to do with my birthday, but tomorrow we're going to talk about bad birthday gifts.
Oh,
really?
Out of the blue.
What a coincidence.
Out of the blue.
You.
I'm just saying, out of the blue.
Well, it's different... been on the schedule for some time. We've been meaning to get to that.
Yeah, it's a different conversation entirely. Comedian Jim Jeffries, who's going to be at April Foolishness. We've had him in the studio.
Crikey.
Very funny. Internet Roundup, a brand new one. We have April Foolishness tickets right up front in the fancy schmancy section. And Brock Lesnar on tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean Show talking about coaching the ultimate fighter, which begins tomorrow night. That's all tomorrow morning on an all-new show.